Blog Talk Radio.
Man, Spiritual Link here on Blog Talk Radio. How you doing? I'm doing great. Doing fantastic. D, are you there? Hello, D. Where you at, D? D, are you there? Hello? Hello? Well, I guess D's not there. Well, that's going to suck, isn't it? Anyway. See, I'm thinking about the situation going on. If D's not there, I don't have anybody to take calls. Right now, I'm having an internet problem myself, so therefore, there's not going to be anybody taking any calls. And I called her earlier today, too, and I said to her, get this all squared away, but now she's not there. Well, it's Friday night. I guess it's a full moon. That can be kind of a scary situation for some people, but some people, it could be actually a great way to manifest things a whole lot easier and a whole lot smoother. So I guess we can sit and ask one more time. D, are you there? Hello? Well, because I'm sitting here trying to figure out how we're going to do this. I'm about ready to go nuts over here. I was looking at some things. Well, shucks, I don't know. My thing is trying to get someone to call in so we can actually do the switchboard, because without the switchboard, we really can't take any callers tonight. We could sit here and talk about the situation of sometimes we all like to listen to the situation of working on things, and right now it seems like everybody's really important to have really successful relationships and to find their soulmates. I guess we could sit here and try to figure it out until, I'm center focusing on some things myself, and, I'm center focusing on this one prayer, and it seemed like this is a really good one. It could actually help out some people really get to focusing on what they want to do. And it's just a guardian angel, but it's a guardian angel prayer for your soulmate. And it says, "Dear guardian angels of my soulmate, thank you for preparing my soulmate and me for love, for giving us motivation to make helpful life changes, and for arranging for us to meet. Thank you for helping us recognize each other and have the courage to say hello, so that we can eventually devolve into a truly intimate relationship. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." And for all people out there who have fear, the best thing to do is work with Archangel Michael and actually tap into all the angels and guides and, God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, your guardian angels, your guides, your higher self, your Holy Spirit, and Jesus, and just kind of, tap into everything and ask for help from everyone. And then thank you, and then tell them from time to time to thank you for that help, protection, and guidance, because it really help out. There's a good one here. It says, Dear Archangel Michael, please enter my dreams and replace fear with faith and trust. Let me be filled with strength, courage, and confidence. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then we sit there and ask Archangel Raphael, Dear Archangel Raphael, thank you for healing and guiding all my relationships upon the path of love. Thank you for healing and guiding all my relationships upon the path of love. I think it's very interesting and very important to focus on all relationships being just that, because when we do, that's when everything kind of tends to work smoother. And then find you some affirmations to keep your focus. Yes, I can be filled. I can be fulfilled. I love myself. I appreciate myself. I feel connected to the power of love in my life. I yearn for love with total self-appreciation. I let my desire activate every part of my being. I let my heart be touched. I let the magic flow. I awaken to the touch of love. My love attracts equal and balanced love. I am open and available, passionate and full. I am receiving love. Love comes to me. I feel turned on. I can be touched. Let the people touch you. Let people
Donnie?
Emotion. Yes?
I was having trouble with the switchboard.
Okay, no problem.
I am here. We do have a couple of callers. We have you and we have a caller.
Well, let's go to the caller and just answer some questions. Anybody else out there who wants to call in, please give us a call at 646-721-9031.
We have somebody from 253.
Two size three.
Yeah, sure. She's not. Wait a minute. What happened here? I see.
Hello.
There we go.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you hearing me?
I'm sorry about that.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How can we help you tonight? What's your name?
Kara.
Kara?
Yes.
Have you called before?
Nope. No, I have not.
Ah, a new victim.
Okay. I just found you.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
How can we help you today?
So I had a very pretty relationship, and really good, and then I got pregnant, and then the father of the baby got into a panic and just kind of started drifting apart every time I was growing more and more, and then the baby was born, and long story short, I mean, he never went away. He was always there, but I moved cities and everything because I wanted to give him space to kind of rethink and go through his process. But he had a tough childhood, and he got very scared, and he's much older than me, and he kind of he's coming along. He's asking about the baby, and he told me he loved the baby, but he I don't know what to do to help him breaking that, and I'm blocking him to be able to come around for good.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I would like, I love him, and I would like him to come around, but he's still not completely there. There is like this thing that doesn't allow him to make the final decision.
Mhm. So, a situation of what can you do to help him come around?
Mhm. Cuz he's full of fears. He's full of also like what is every, like he's afraid of people around, that what is everybody going to say, cuz he didn't do what he was supposed to do since the beginning, and was taking charge, and he didn't take responsibility since the beginning. So that's another thing, that he's just kind of afraid of everybody, that, he's not going to be seen well if he even comes around.
Mm-hmm. So he's fearful of...
Sorry?
No, just... Look at the situation. You say he's fearful about anything and everything. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You said there's something about his childhood?
I'm sorry?
No, I said you were saying that he has a lot of fears.
Yes.
And you said some kind of connection to his when he was younger.
Yeah. Yeah, he told me that his childhood was...
Was what?
That his childhood was very, very difficult with his parents.
Oh. So once you, it's like the ideal situation. It seems like the only you, when you look at the situation, there's nothing you can do but be yourself, be who you
mm-hmm.
are, and don't stop, don't compromise, don't sit there and say, "Well, you know, I don't want to do nothing to hurt his feelings." If you start compromising your life because of those kind of things, then what you're doing is you're working against yourself, because what you're saying is, "What can I do to help him?" Is to be who you are, to not
mm-hmm.
give him the freedoms, to sit there and walk away from the situation, not to deal and confront. If he's not going to deal and confront, then he's never going to come around. He's always going to find some excuse. I mean, when you start to look at the situation and think about it very clearly, it really is appalling, being very disrespectful towards you, because his childhood doesn't exist anymore. The only reason it only exists in his mind because he refuses to let go of it, and the point of actually almost keeping it there, so therefore he always has an excuse why he can't have a happy life, why things can't work out for him. He's making it all that way. He's creating this himself.
Yeah.
So you have to constantly, it's like, when I say be yourself, I mean, when it's to a point where you're angry and you're tired of hearing it, it's one of those things that center saying that. I'm tired of hearing it. Because, you know, it's like fear is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
The more you feed into it, the more it becomes a reality. the more we manifest it into reality. Therefore, we keep attracting all these crazy situations that keep reinforcing just what we keep thinking. And that's what he's doing. My childhood sucks, so therefore my life does, and it will continue to be so. And then until I let go of the past, it'll be like that. But you also get the impression he doesn't really have any intentions of letting go of the past anytime soon.
Oh, he said that he cut that, but I know that it affects him, he has come more now around because he calls every day. He asks about the baby. He's worried about the baby.
Well, I'm just saying, tell him to get his butt over there then.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you can call and you can ask and you can worry, but he's still keeping a distance for a reason, because he's just not ready to emotionally connect with that child yet. But I think that's what you have to do. I'm just saying, just get to a comfortable place and say, you know something? You can keep calling and ask how the child is, but why don't you just come over and see how the child is? Put it in your arms.
Yes.
So what do you have?
What do I have? A boy.
I thought so.
Yeah.
An adorable boy whose father needs to see him.
Yes.
He's got to stop letting his fears get in the way of everything. Because I think he really loves his son. He's just scared.
How much older is he between the two of you?
The father is 15 years older than me.
Okay, he's how old? 50 years older?
He's 15. 15.
Oh, 15, Donnie. No, not 50, 15.
Yeah, 15. Yeah.
Okay, so 15 years. So how old are you?
40.
So 15 would put him about, 55?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I know it's tough, too, because he's not, a younger father. So that also is... He had other plans that, now to retire and do other things, and he doesn't have any kids. This is the first kid, and he's not, he's not 35 or 40, so.
Well, I've had this question earlier today, too, where I just kind of got, it's like going deep in a situation and going, okay, guys, let me ask you a question. What's the difference between a 35-year-old and a 55-year-old perception?
Perception, yep. Exactly. Yep.
When you look at the situation, that's what I'm saying. I would stop looking at a person and say, you know something, as old as he is, he should be a whole lot more capable of being a really hands-on-hand father because he should have experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideal of the situation, not playing the distant thing. So it's, to me, it's just the ideal of scared of being emotionally connected to somebody else. Because, if you look at the situation, I was sitting there looking at the end of the day, Dr. Wayne Dreyer, I think he's like 70-some years old. He's got a child. He's got babies.
Really?
Yeah, he's got babies.
And grown kids, too. I know that.
Well, I'm just saying, when you sit there, no, seriously, what I'm saying is humans have determined what a 50-year-old is, what a 40-year-old is. And what's so appalling in this day and age is everybody's living longer, so those time frames don't exist anymore. They can't exist anymore because of everything's progressing and going forward. So when you look at the situation, if you only have, that's what I think the biggest problem here is embarrassment, too, of what people are going to think.
Yep.
And the reason I'm having such a hard time focusing on that reasoning is because you're 40 years old. You're not like, it's not like he's 55 and you just turned 21.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that situation, who gives a hoot, because it says the law says when you turn 18, you have the right to make the decisions and do whatever you want to. If you want to nail a whole freaking football team, you're 18 years old. You can do what you want. But society will come back in and say, I don't think you can take it. I don't think you're mature enough. They keep, you know, they make excuses why they need to help you. When realistically, when you look at the situation of the people themselves, they're the ones that need help. They're just not really willing to take a look at their lives and go, hey, I need some help. Let's go help somebody else out because I feel good when I help other people out. Because, you know, there's still stigmatisms out there about 30 years old. See, one thing people don't like mentioning, see, I don't think it's the ideal men don't tell people how old they are because they're trying to hide something. They're just tired of dealing with it. Because I've always sat there and said one thing. If you look at a relationship and it's fantastic and it's great and it's working really good and you're just working things out and the only problem you have, per se, is someone says that you're too, but your age is. I mean, if that's the only case that's going on, then it's all it is, excuse after excuse after excuse, which is people who can't accept it because maybe, I said this once before too, when a guy asked me, he says, you're dating a very young girl, why are you doing that? And I said, well, why are you asking? Are you jealous because you can't? And I think that's the biggest problem. I think it's one of those things that he doesn't realize that all the people around him, it's not the idea of them talking him down, it's the idea of jealous of the relationship that you guys had.
Yeah.
So if you look at the situation, what can you do to bring him around? Tell him to snap out of it and join life. And this going to say, hey, you have a child to live. What does he want to do? Okay, let's go with the age thing, okay? If you want to go with the age thing and you say, well, I'm going to die in 5 years, wouldn't it be the smart thing to do to actually commit to this situation now and give this child completely his attention instead of being so distant to where we're going to hear 5 years from now? Oh, shucks, I should have been there for, you know. Why should we go shucks he darns? And I should have been there when he can be there. That's what I'm saying. A lot of times when you trace these situations back, which is what I see here, it's just being blunt and saying, okay, he's a 55-year-old man, not a 16-year-old boy. So we sit and treat him as such. You say, okay, you had a childhood. Why haven't you dealt with it in 55 years? And also, let's take a look at the situation of childhood. Was his childhood that bad? I don't think so,
but he felt bad. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think so either. So when you look at the situation, the only thing that came to me was just be yourself. If you come to the point where your nerves are at end and you just want to look at the guy and go, could you please just stop and just come over here? If you want to see how your son's doing, then come over and see how your son's doing. I'm tired of being a messenger. I'm a mother, so I have other things to do than to keep relaying messages. That's great, you know, love the guy. But if you really love him, he should be where he's at. It should be with you guys. I mean, I don't see any other variables why he shouldn't be there. There's nothing else keeping him there.
No, other than, I mean, I work for a different company, but we work together because my company provides services to his company. So he's also afraid of people at work and that maybe he can get in trouble at work. Because of that, which is, that's fair, just at work, because of, you know, but that's okay.
It's another thing about society, too. Always butting in where they don't need to butt in at. They're always trying to sit there and say, well, you know, you guys shouldn't be doing this. Says who? You know, it's like the government trying to tell us what to do when they can't even manage their own freaking family. You know, it's like a contradiction. So we could go to all the variables of why he's doing what he's doing, but see what goes in your private life is nobody else's business but you guys'.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you're not making out on the freaking conveyor belt at work, I don't see the problem. Okay, so it's like look at the situation, take all that stuff, push it to the side. What is in the best interest of this child is for you two to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to get over that, and he needs to understand that. So I say, I guess if you look at the situation and go, what can you do, is just be blunt and tell him the truth. You know, I don't want to hear about your childhood. And it's not even, seriously, when you sit and look at these situations, people go, that's insensitive. Isn't it insensitive for a man to impose his childhood on you? Something that he hasn't been since, well, shoot, you know, we're talking childhood, over 4 years ago. And to bring this into this factor now as an excuse is really, I mean, it's almost like the biggest fish line I ever saw was reel the past in, which is where it's interfering with this situation. There shouldn't be nothing interfering with this situation. It should be happening. And I just feel like that's the one thing I feel like you could do, is just be blunt about the whole thing and set, basically look at the person and go, there is no excuses. Excuses are like, it's like, oh, we mentioned Dr. Wayne Dreyer. The one thing you should do is try to get that book, Excuses Be Gone, saying that excuses are what, this, the truth about excuses are things that we conjure up to keep us from where we really want to be at. So the process of actually also with the situation being blunt, when you're on your own and you have some time to yourself, is the idea of also using affirmations to clear out the clutter and the blockages, because I feel like where he wants to be at is to be with you. And affirmations don't interfere with people's free will. They actually just clear out the blocks so they can actually do what they want to do.
Okay.
The perfect one for you is to sit there and say, you were born to be loved, cherished, and adored. Just say, keep saying it to yourself over and over and over again. And then say to yourself, I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. And when I'm not, that's because I haven't been focusing on myself enough, and everybody else is getting more attention. You know, I think that's what we should do at night before we go to bed, the idea of praying, but also focusing on just those things. You know, what is good for me? I had this conversation today with a lady where we were talking about, well, she didn't want to, almost like she didn't want to ask for anything. She just says, well, what I do is I just say, okay, I like to have a relationship, so God, you bring me what you think's best for me. Okay, that's not a bad thing, but it's also to say, it also says in the Bible, you have not because you ask not. So maybe it's the idea of getting clear with this situation. Because I saw this one, if I can find it, here it is, to use this one affirmation to say, all difficulties between me and you fill in the blank and so-and-so are now being dissolved. We have a wonderful, romantic, deep loving relationship now and always. Pick one powerful affirmation that really works with you to clear all this stuff out and help him go on. Because realistically, there's nothing you can really do to him as any kind of physical thing of sitting down and talking to him and that kind of stuff. Seem like you've done about everything you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
But we can still use positive affirmations and work with the divine and God and angels to actually bring this thing around where this person can see things and actually see it the way it is. That it's ridiculous.
Right. Yes.
Let's see. Yeah, I just feel like that one would work really good. And also say this to yourself. It's like, say the one with difficulties, but where it says all difficulties are being dissolved right now between me and your what mm-hmm. is it? You guys are not married, are you?
No.
Okay, then use his name. And it's just all difficulties between me and him are now being dissolved. We have a wonderful, romantic, deep-loving relationship, and whatever else you want to do, marriage. Don't, you know, really, sit there and ask yourself, focus, is that what you want? And put it in there. And say that's what you want right now. And then go back over to this one over here where it says, I am happy and grateful that I now have a wonderful, happy, joyous, romantic, spiritual soulmate, twin flame, relationship, marriage with, and put that name in there, and it said, we are really learning to understand and deeply love each other unconditionally now and always. Thank you. And see what happens with those. I think that was really help out.
Okay.
Because the idea of getting frustrated and the idea of getting to a point where you say, well, I can't physically do anything. I've just seen that when you sit and put those and really focus on those things and do them like 3 times a day.
Okay.
Since you already say that, you feel like he's moving forward anyway. It just seemed like it would just move things along a lot quicker.
Good. Okay.
I really feel like that would really help out a lot. And then what was that one? And like I said before, I think I read the one like the guardian angel, where you're basically saying, "Dear guardian angels are my soulmate."
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Thank you for preparing my soulmate and me for love." It's see the motive. You can still use this. I think you can still use this prayer because, you know, you're not really what we call together, as in together, without any kind of infractions where you think tomorrow's going to be taken off. And I feel like this thing here would be very good because it just, because it talks about not working with him strictly, but working with his guardian angels to help him realize what it is. You know, dear guardian angels and my soulmate, thank you for preparing my soulmate and me for love, for giving us the motivation to make helpful life changes. See, that really works for you. And for arranging for us to meet each. Thank you for helping us recognize each other and have the courage to say hello so that we can eventually devolve into a truly intimate relationship. Thank you. Because if you sort of look at the situation, see, thank you for helping us recognize each other and have the courage. See, that's the thing, the courage to snap out of it and look at you and go, hello, my soulmate's been in front of me the whole time. Yeah, if you get a chance to go back in the archives, I would actually copy this down.
Yeah, those are very good.
Because I think it would really help out a lot, too, because it's talking about making healthful life changes. And I think in the process of moving forward and actually committing to this relationship would help him realize that all he's been doing is hanging on to his childhood. His childhood didn't ruin him, didn't make him the way he is. It's just the ideal hanging on to it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, he needs help himself, but, I mean, he's the only one that can go and get therapy or something. So that's why I say, well, what can I do to, like, pray for him to kind of help him
mm-hmm.
in a different way.
Yeah, but even with counseling, it still comes down to one thing, him.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting and letting go. Therapy is just one of those things to help people, you know, come up with tools and techniques and stuff like that to do it. So I think it's getting kind of out of hand these days, too. I was sitting there talking to someone before, but she said her support group didn't think it was wise for her to go see a guy. And I'm like, okay, when did the support group start making the decision? Kind of takes the kick out of freaking support means I make the decision, and then when I have problems, I go to the support group to get some support on the decisions I made and help me work through it, but not make the decisions for me. And if you look at the situation here, it's like he wants you to take on all the responsibility of the situation with his child. He wants to be there, but then he doesn't want to get there. And I guess it's one of those things when you look at it, it's still an excuse not to face what's actually going on right now to the point where you feel like it's building up to another one later on when you wish he would have been there. So I feel like with using the affirmations and focusing on what you're trying to do right now really helps both of you. And you feel like therapy will come in later, but not so to where it's got to be something that's a necessity. It's more just the idea to keep helping what's going on between the two of you to keep it in the process of advancing.
Yep. So I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that. Thank you for the advice. Are there any other prayers that I could use?
Okay, say it one more time.
Are there any other prayers that I could use?
Well, one thing I would sit here and put out there is the intensity of it seems like the one thing you do is you're tired of being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was focusing on some affirmations, but I guess the one... I had this one, I can't... Hold on. Sometimes I write so much in my book, it's like I don't realize that there's like four more pages written in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing I was looking at these affirmations, there's affirmations in here for love. And they just talk about focusing on yourself, focusing on, yes, I can love and be loved. That's the thing, too. You seem to be a little bit closed off a little bit because of how things haven't unfolded the way you wanted to. So just, you're looking for success, right?
Right.
I saw this one where it says, I believe in myself, and just keep saying it over and over again. And then to the point of, all that I seek is seeking me. I do have this one. It's a soulmate prayer. It's actually a prayer for manifesting a soulmate. That's actually what I do with it. Let's see here. Here we go. But I think that one would really work because you know, all the difficulties between the two of you. I think if you would work with that one, it would definitely clear out the blockages, this block and everything.
Mm-hmm.
This soulmate prayer says, prayer for manifesting a soulmate. It says, God in all that is, in this moment I am grateful for the healing of my heart, of everything that would stop me from attracting my soulmate. In this moment I remember that my perfect right partner is magnetizing to me, and my only job is to rest in perfect awareness that my soulmate's heart is already joined with mine as I savor the waiting, and so it is. That's a good one, too, because it's like opening the door. If he is the soulmate and he is the person, it would just open the doors to make sure it happens. Because I was sitting there looking at this one, and I think it's one of these things that needs to be said time and time again, because it says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. And the idea of looking at your friend here and asking yourself, what does he reflect back at you about yourself? I think that would really give you some insights on which way to go with the situation. Because it seems like to me like you're very open, very loving, very caring, and very communicative.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the side of the situation, he is not. So it's like a good reflection of why would someone distance themselves from you and your child when it's the idea of something bad, it's actually all good. The things that he's not really willing to look at. That's why I think it was so important to say, you know, just start calling the bluff and say, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. You need to be here. You need to be a part of this. And you need to be experiencing this thing just like I am. Not because it's your responsibility, because if you don't, you're going to regret it later on when you didn't and realize you should have. And the point of actually trying to point it out to him that all you're trying to do is keep him from going through any more regret. I think there's things in his childhood which kind of reflects what's going on now. I don't think his childhood was bad. I think he thought it was bad because of things he didn't get a chance to do. Not realizing he didn't miss anything. Everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. If it would have been different, it would have been different.
Right.
He needs to realize that it's almost like he's waiting for a day where he can actually relive it. And it's, you know, you look at the situation, what he's doing right now is, if there was anything he was deprived from when he was a child, he's now the vehicle that's depriving this child of what he needs the most. And that's his father. We can also just say it wasn't a great situation the way it happened, but that's pre-consumption, don't you think? I think it happened just the way it was supposed to happen. Between two people, actually, when you look at this thing, and you, like I said before, you look at yourself and you look at him, you both attracted each other. So therefore, who you are, so is he, and vice versa. So it's just the idea of taking a look at those situations and trying to learn from the reflections that you're both giving each other. It's always been said that when you learn from the reflections, it just brings you closer together.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. It's true. He can stop the regrets if he acts and takes responsibility.
Yes, the regrets are still continuing. That's what we can't keep enabling him to do the same thing over again. Because with him, he needs to let go of it just so he will stop missing out on life itself. Life is unfolding right now. Every time we put it on hold, it's still going on. It's just that we kind of stopped being a part of it. When you love life, life loves you back. And if you notice people who have a tendency to sit there and say life sucks, look at their lives. They probably say it a lot too. So therefore, it's just reflecting what they think and what they've experienced, and they just keep attracting the same thing over again. In order to change what's going to happen tomorrow, we need to stop thinking how we used to think yesterday. So it's one of those misconceptions that people think, okay, why is my life like this? Because you want it to be. Like when I talk to people all the time, it's like the first thing I hear in their mouth is like, this first person did something to me. How? If it's one of those situations where you have to come to a point where you got to walk away from the situation, can you do that?
Walking from the situation?
If he gets persistent, gets stubborn, and refuses to be a part of this part all the time. Because, I mean, the one thing about the situation that seems to be really strong is people's perceptions, what people think. That seems to be the one thing that's stuck in his mind. What is that one thing? Peer pressure is the hardest thing to get over.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also the same thing of looking at yourself, too. Do you have a tendency to feed into peer pressure or just how people perceive or think about you? Forever.
Yeah.
That might actually help you understand the situation where you knew, like if you've been there before yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've gotten through it, you've gotten over it, and you realize it was crazy. And you don't do it no more. It's the idea of learning from that experience where you could actually take this to what you had to do to come to that realization maybe and actually convey it to him. Sometimes a situation like that, what I was saying before, was sometimes you have to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get this situation to resolve itself. So the person will realize one thing, and it's one of the hardest ones, but people have a tendency not to appreciate things until they no longer have it. Even on the point of actually being an illusion. It seems like he's so freaking dead of it on almost like ruining something because of the fear of what people might think it might be. You still see it as a situation that can be resolved. What I would do is take the techniques and see what you can do with them. Like I said before, I always sit there and focus on them 3 days a week. I'm sorry, 3 times a day. And if you have to do them as much as you want. But the best thing to do when you do affirmations and the prayers themselves is to focus as you're working with them to see how they resonate with you.
Okay.
Because some people say, "How long should I do this?" You should do it long enough where you are so convinced and so confident that that's what's going to happen that you can let it go then. And then you do it till then. And then if you feel, I mean, one thing I used to do in the process of bringing things around was if I caught myself being pulled into the negative thinking, I would pull the affirmations out and start reading them until I forgot about what that negative thing was going to try to creep in. It's like one of those things to make a decision, too. If this is what you really want and this is the kind of relationship you want and you feel like if he was a part of it, it would definitely be the family and the situation you want. That's what I'll be focusing on. I would use the affirmations. I would sit there and make them detail, come up with some of their affirmations, that fit what you're trying to do. If it's family, marriage, the kind of relationship that you want to have, that you feel like from being with him, that you know is possible, is the ideal. Use those affirmations to clear out those blocks. So that's exactly what will happen, okay?
Okay.
And then take and then eat 3 cookies and call me in the morning. But seriously, you know, if you want someone to work with, if you want someone to work with on a period of time, just you know, give me a call back and tell me what's going on, because sometimes it's like I just tell people to keep working with the affirmations, and then when certain things start coming to you, you can actually create your own affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
I would give this, if you, focusing on the affirmations, the prayers, I get the impression you could definitely bring this around in about 2 months.
In 2 months?
Yeah, and people think, well, 2 months is a long time. Well, compared to years, it's not.
Right.
There's been a lot of things been going on around. And, you know, when you look at the situation, sometimes these things happen so quickly, too. I mean, I had a girlfriend once, too, where we were sitting there talking, and it's like she was for three months, she was just very persistent. Nope. Didn't want to deal with nothing, didn't want to talk about anything. Any kind of resemblance to anything that could be positive, a song, anything. She distanced herself from all of them. And then I called her up one day and said, okay, I'm tired of playing games. So I want you to come down here and move away from there. Come down here and this is going to work. And she goes, okay. And I was like, okay, well, what? Just like that. Just when you're ready to argue again or you're ready to be defensive, and all of a sudden it was just like, boom. They changed their mind. And that's the thing I see. If you keep working on this between about it says 1.5 to 2 months. That's about a month and a half to 2 months. But it depends on, like I said, when you work with it. Feel it. I would also sit here and focus on, just like I told you, the ones where it's like, I am love. And just say that to yourself over and over and over again. The one thing that happens in this situation is either, too, when you raise your vibration like that, people who really do care about you and love you cannot stay away from you. So do those techniques. Try to do them at least twice a day, if not 3 times a day. Don't sit down and force yourself to do it. I'm saying take 3 times a day where you sit down and enjoy it, picture it, visualize you two being together and having the family life that you want to have with your son. I think it's going to work out because I feel like for some reason, I know people might say, oh, she's 40 years old, but I just don't feel like you have a 40-year-old body.
Right.
But for some reason,
he looks really young, too. I mean, he looks really young.
Yeah. Can you have more children if you wanted to?
Yeah, I could. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good, because it makes a lot of sense when I keep seeing this little girl. Yes, I definitely do. So keep working on it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, not the baby. Tell me the relationship, the affirmations and stuff like that. Because I just feel like once you do that, you guys will be back before August in a very committed relationship. And don't be surprised if it don't happen very quickly. What would you say, Dee?
I was paying attention to the chat room, but yeah, I do think that, you know, if you follow Donna's advice, you'll get what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Can you repeat the affirmation on the difficulties?
Oh, the one I wrote to you before?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says, all difficulties between me and we fill in blank with your friend, are now being dissolved. We have a wonderful happy, romantic, deep, loving relationship now and always. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, okay.
You can come back after and listen to this program later, or actually after, I guess it takes about a half an hour, but then everything's set up and you can actually come back and you can download the show.
Oh, good. Okay.
Whenever somebody reads to me, I download the shows later so I can have the information whenever I want it.
Okay, I'll do that. And what do you think with the, you said that there was a full moon today?
Yeah, so I hear there's a full moon tonight.
Oh, goody.
But I always look at the full moon. See, we got all these crazy people out there that are running around like crazy people, right? That's because they're not utilizing the energy. It's great for taking that energy and focusing on manifesting what you want to do, who you want to be with, just manifestations in general, okay? So I would do the affirmations tonight and tomorrow morning. Utilize that energy and really focus. I mean, when I say focus, I mean picture the ideal of being together to the point where you can feel each touch, you know, feel the emotions, what's going on between the two, like it's happening right then and there. You might actually catch yourself actually being where he's at and him being where you're at. It can be an intense experience. Trust me on that one. I have actually done it a couple times myself where I was just focusing and opening myself up to the situation of feeling that person. The next thing I know, I think I was actually there.
I'll do that.
Yeah, those meditations are intense. Sometimes it might take a little bit of work, but they're well worth it.
Okay.
Okay, and let us know. And like I said before, if you'd like to sit down and work on 101, just give me a call. I'd be glad to sit down and work with you.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are welcome, and thank you for calling us tonight. And just keep in touch. And if you have any more questions, just let us know, okay?
Okay. Excellent.
All righty. You're welcome.
So this program is every Friday?
Every Friday. Well, actually, it's every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Good luck.
Thank you.
So I was just going to sit there and go over the information, too. Like we said our time before, if you want to sit down and do a private reading with me or sessions, give me a call at 740-500-8863. Or call me through Skype at my number, which is 740-601-9835. Or I do have a Skype name, which is donald.reed8, which is all in small letters. Or you can contact me at my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And we do have some specials going on for the month of May where you can actually get a 75-minute reading for $75. And also if you want to do the relationship counseling, a life coaching, if you have a child that you would like to sit down and work with, any of those kind of sessions, those are usually not, there's a 90-minute sessions that usually are like $135. But for the month of May, you could actually get those for $75 too as well. So give us a call, and we'd be glad to sit down and work with you on any one of those things. But we also have a special too, a block of 5 45-minute readings at $100 for all five, and that's usually $45. $75 on the norm. But right now you get a block of five for $100. So give us a call at 740-500-8863, and we'd be glad to sit down and talk to you. We also do readings through Skype, one-on-one, group readings, and parties, too, as well. So it doesn't matter where you're at in the world. We can be there. So just give us a call. I guarantee we can work out some kind of deal. It's going to work for both of us. If you want to be a sponsor to the show, that's a $40 fee a month, and we can sponsor you, your services, or your products, whatever it is. And speaking of our sponsors, we have a sponsor named Richard Belega. I hope I'm saying that right, who actually has a website called DivineBodyWash.com. It's very natural and very spiritual products. And he's saying for each person who donates $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. And for each person who donates $35 or more, he will also throw in a bottle of body mist. So check it out, DivineBodyWash.com. AMD, you there?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I put some in the chat room, but excuse me. If you're interested in a reading, contact me at 207-374-5072 or email me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. I do my readings for donations, and I suggest for an email reading, I suggest $20. If you're looking for an hour's worth of reading, 60 minutes over the phone, I suggest $60. I can do, shorter periods of time or longer. Just contact me. We'll work out the details, and I'll work within your budget. I take PayPal. Try to get back to you within 24 to 48 hours, and give you the best reading I possibly can. Excuse me. And if you're interested in jewelry, my business is Dreamweaver Designs. And for now, you can, if you're interested, I can show you some pictures of what I do, and you can email me at the email address I gave you. Also, my jewelry is made with good stone beads like Picasso jasper, freshwater pearls, moss agate, rose quartz, you name it, I use it. And I sometimes use stone pendants or sterling silver pendants. I also use Hill Tribe silver, which is handmade by the Hill Tribe people in Thailand, which is absolutely gorgeous stuff with a higher silver content. And I also take PayPal for the jewelry. So if you're interested, contact me. We'll work out what you're looking for, if you're looking, the length, how many strands you want, that sort of thing. And I'm going to be getting into chakra jewelry. So if you have an interest in that, just let me know and we'll work something out.
Okay.
I think that's, I also put in the chat room that I do healing energy, so if anybody has an interest in that, we can do something with that.
Mm-hmm.
Good grief. People are having interesting conversation in the chat room.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Well, somebody left from Journey to the Light because apparently people were trying to get them to watch some program they didn't like, and they said, you watch it, and left. They said they were mad.
Mm.
And my mother used to say, only dogs get mad, people get angry. But people are, it's an interesting conversation here because it's a full moon, and somebody was wondering about the energy. They said, is there anyone in chat whose energy goes up and down and round? And I said that mine was all over the map. And these people, it's, what on earth are people, I think people are really getting a little interesting over here. Good grief. I don't know who's Songbird and whatever they're talking about. Somebody said they called in, but they're not in the queue. There's nobody in the queue but us.
Oh, really? Should try to tell them calling again, or sometimes you got to report.
I don't know what's going on. I've told them that somebody, I've been trying to get them on hold or off, and this thing just keeps going round and round on there. It's just a little weird. My computer is really messed up.
I'm just saying, sometimes you just got to refresh the computer. And
if I refresh it, I might lose the, when I do that, I'm likely to have to bring up the switchboard again because my computer will do something funky. Good freaking Lord. But nobody's called in. And I've encouraged them, but they don't seem to be. Seems to be a weird night. Ah, it's the full moon. People have said they've called in, but they're not. I'll have to refresh the thing because there is nobody in Cuba. This is getting ridiculous. See what happens if I refresh it. Nope, that figures. I have to start all over again. I lost the switchboard.
Well, some people too went. you know, one lady was understanding, she didn't want to sit there and say, well, this is what I want. And then she kind of like shut the door, and I'm like, well, you can put a little affirmation on the end of that too by saying this or something better. Now manifest for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. That opens all the doors, all the windows. It specifies, you know, what I think I want, but it's also showing that if there's something better or something I just haven't thought about, then we sit and go over that whole thing too. Affirmations are good because it's the ideal. I think the one thing that most people understand too, when you sit there and talk about affirmation, it's the ideal thing. Finding ones that work with you. Oh, did you find some people?
Yes, I did. I got it refreshed, and we have somebody from area code 212.
212.
Yes, and they're on the air.
Hi. I'm on the air.
Hi.
I'm on again. I called before. And
okay.
I'm calling again. I wanted to, do you guys do dreams?
I do.
Donnie does. I'm not so good with dreams, but I can try.
Okay. Well, I was in a workshop, and I was in a workshop in my dream, and when I was just sitting there, someone in a black shirt and like a light brown, like a beigey brown color pants, and then he laid down next to me where the workshop was, and I felt really relaxed in his presence, and I really felt really good. And then he left, and it made me feel really, like, sad. Like, oh, no, he left. And that was my dream, and then I woke up.
Huh.
And you said he was in earth colors?
Yeah, earth colors, like black, and that kind of that the pants were, like, light brown. Like that yellow type of brownish, yeah, like a
mm-hmm.
light brownish. And, you know, it's like in life when you, like, see a good-looking or somebody that you feel really attracted to and you feel those energy, to feel that good vibe. And then when
uh-huh.
they leave, you're like, oh, you feel a difference, you know. It was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering what you think it means.
Well, to me, it seems like it's one of those things that called Mr. Old Grounding. Okay, that's also looking at the situation when you feel the most grounded. So usually when you meet somebody you really care about, really love, and there's attraction, that kind of stuff, you also feel very grounded at that moment too.
I guess I felt grounded.
Yeah, I was looking at the colors, see the earths and the blacks and that kind of stuff. Those are definitely indications of grounding colors. The browns, earth.
Maybe I have to ground my energy more.
It's the idea of grounding yourself, but also
do you feel scattered?
Huh?
Well, I guess
I asked if she felt scattered.
Not even, no. I was in the workshop. I was doing fine. And then this guy walked in, and I was very impressed, and my energy felt really good. Like, I felt relaxed and just good. And then he didn't even see me. He just walked away. And that's kind of like this shit disappointment thing, like, oh man.
Yeah, that's also the grounding, the lack of, because when you look at the situation and go, oh, that was disappointing, how come the guy didn't, it's almost like you're saying that why did that happen, almost to the point of saying the guy didn't like me.
Yeah, like why am I not the one that gets to be seen?
Well, first of all, you have to make sure that you see yourself.
Yeah, I guess I'm learning that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what this dream was about, that I don't know.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, not seeing me from the outside only, but also from the inside, I guess.
I'm just saying, when you look at the situations, when you feel most grounded, are the times that you don't care what people think. You're happy and content with yourself, and you seem to find people that do the same love too. So you look at the situation and go, okay, the dream was saying, It's a reminder of how you felt when you were at your most grounded. You felt comfortable and that kind of stuff. And then the idea of losing track of oneself means you need to ground yourself again. And you constantly keep doing that because as you're going through things and being subjected to other people's energies, it has a tendency to disrupt your being grounded. That's why it's so important to take time for yourself every day to make sure those things don't happen.
That sounds good.
Hey,
and I have another question. I've been applying to many, many schools for a position to work with children. I have a degree, special degree, not in education, but therapeutic. And I have not been really successful at getting in the schools. I don't want to work in a hospital or like an institute that like does different things and has to do so much paperwork. I'm very much interested in a school-based program, and I have not been successful at getting my foot in the door. It's been very challenging, and so I still want to find a way to get myself in the door, because this is the only way I can kind of do my work. I can't do my work like in a constrictive place. Like it has to be open-minded. And I was wondering, like, if you have any insight about related to this. Because I tried applying to these international schools and no one was interested. It was such a long process and no one was interested. It was very upsetting. And I feel like maybe that wasn't the right school, right approach. No, the approach was right, just nobody was interested.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. A whole year lost. And a whole year lost, another whole year lost on applying to institutes and different institutes in the States. Another whole year was lost. Now I'm thinking I still want to do work with children and school because that seems to be the most best fit for me. But I wonder, how do I get my, what is this possible? Is it going to happen? What's the deal? What's the deal? Because, I don't know what the deal is. You know, if there is no deal, then I do have to, if I want to stay in here, if I want to stay in the U.S., I have to figure out a deal.
Right.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm feeling like nothing. Like nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm not feeling like I'm not getting anything, you know? It's very difficult to get something, get insight, get information at this point in my life. Maybe I'm not supposed to, but I'm just not getting any information. So I don't know which direction to go in terms of job applications in my field. How does it sound to you guys? What is your intuition?
I keep getting the idea of keep going.
Well, I have no choice. I'm keeping going.
I'm just saying, I feel like it's persistent, and I don't think it's going to be much longer. And it's all going to fall in place, and the things that you've been focusing on, they're going to happen.
That's what you feel?
That's what I feel. Frustration?
I was feeling that, but I'm over that now. I'm not feeling frustration. Now what's coming is more fear of making a mistake, getting myself into things that I don't want, fear of not having the things that I want to have in my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's more so fear of, you know, I just went to an interview like 2 weeks ago at this institute. It's a lot of paperwork I had to do, lots and lots and lots of paperwork. It's for the government, and then you have to basically run after families, make sure they follow up because it's government. If they don't take care of their children, then you have power over it. And it was a lot of paperwork. And she mm-hmm. just emailed me. She said, I didn't get the job. Do you really think it hurt my feelings? I don't care anymore. Like before, like a year ago, when something like this would happen to me, I would be, fear of failure would come, horrible, like anxiety of failure, all this stuff would come. And now it just passes me by and I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a miracle to me. I would have never, I already moved on from that interview. My life is already I'm already like 15 steps ahead of that institute. So I'm like, I'm okay that I did. Like there's no, I'm not feeling the same feelings anymore like I would, you know?
Right.
So I'm kind of like, wow, you know, I came a long way because I was either like very anxiously waiting for them to send me if I had made it or not, and it was all about, did I make it? Did I not make it? Oh, I didn't make it. Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling bad. But now I don't feel bad anymore.
That's good.
Yeah, that's really amazing because, you know what, in the end, if it doesn't come from inside of me, I can't force myself to work in an institute, no matter how good I am. It's like,
right.
I don't want to institutionalize my spirit, you know. I'm free.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to get my licensing, and I do want to, you know, work with children in a legitimate form. I have no idea. It feels like a knot. It feels like a knot. This whole licensing and the way it's been set up after you graduate feels like
mm-hmm.
a knot, you know?
Yes.
I don't think people should be... and then when you do it the alternative way, there's not as much respect for your work, you know? It's like, it's that. You know, so you have
mm-hmm.
to kind of have your own respect for what you do. And, yeah, these are my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying with the situation at hand, it's just keep going. The ideal opportunities might not
yeah.
be the one of working for somebody, but maybe working for yourself.
Yeah, I'm already working for myself, but that needs time to build up. So it's like I'm doing like 5 different projects and I'm like, I have to switch
mm-hmm.
gears. Like one moment I'm working in a trade show, the next moment I'm having another private client. It's like you have to like switch gears, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like switching gears and still being yourself. You know, have your own needs met as well. You know, it's like, oh,
mm-hmm. That's true.
That's the part where you have to find the right person to work with who can help you, you know, not just heal emotionally,
yeah.
but also see results in life, you know. And have to be patient.
Yeah, we focus on what would be the thing we need to do. What kind of, what do we try to build here?
Yeah, what are we trying to build? Life just passes by, and we're in this body, and we're here, and yeah.
Well, it's like one of those situations of asking yourself the situation of learning how to switch gears and how long will it take you to actually do what you got to do when you spend these time to build it up. And, you know, look at the situation. Timing is perception, too.
Yeah.
How much, I mean, what do you think it would, how much time you think you need? I mean, I've seen things turn around in days, you know. Try to put it in perspective, like you said before, where I want to be at, where I enjoy the most. Because the once you put yourself in that situation where you really want to be at, where you enjoy it the most, it's usually where you attract the most.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely enjoy working in this in the trade show. I'm helping out in the trade show.
Mhm.
It's like a family. It comes from my past. Like I've been born and raised in it. So it's like such a natural thing that I love to do. And then I see this woman, like this woman that I then help out. And so I could be her too. I could do exactly what she does. But then I'm like, oh, no, you know, I don't want to do it. It's too, but I could do that. I can see myself doing it. I don't need to be, so I love that job, too. But I think in terms of helping people, I think this is what I came to do. But in terms of, like, how to give it form, and be a legitimate practitioner, it's like that's kind of a search.
Mm-hmm.
A search for me.
I was just saying, with a situation, you gotta sit and watch it, because sometimes you get pulled into human perception. What the world thinks is legitimate, and actually legitimacy is the ideal look at the situation the same. If you're good at what you do, you don't have to justify it to no one. The people who don't understand are a different path to understand. They just haven't got there yet.
No, it's so difficult. Like, people, there are different types of people. I mean, you know, psychotherapy never served anyone. I mean, of course, there's super wisdom, and there are insights, and there are, like, these aha moments, and stuff, you know, and healing that can take place on a mental level. You can solve a lot on the mental level. But on a deeper emotional, spiritual level, it's an extremely linear path for the ego. You know, the ego is just so terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying. And the spirit is completely, most of the time, is... is analyzed, and everything is analyzed. There's no, it doesn't feel whole. So, yeah, I mean, the world is changing, you know. I don't know, it's difficult for us to be doing what we have to do still, you know, and be like in two worlds at the same time. But, you know, why put limitations on myself? I feel like I'm putting a lot of limitations on myself and thinking that I need licensing in order to, in order to, you know, have the credentials to, but I can do exactly the same, if not more. So.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things you can be very lucrative, just the idea of making a decision. What is more important?
No, it's also time. It just takes time to get things going and done. It takes time. And as long as you keep doing things on that path, you know, you get it done eventually. So I think I keep going for myself, and that path will show itself. As long
That's
as I
true.
Keep my things going, you know, maybe apply to, in terms of school,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to apply.
I'm telling you. It's one of those things, you make a decision.
Are you okay?
I'm just sort of thinking about it, because I went through this before myself, where it's like people pushing and prodding and saying, you need a job, you need to work, those kind of things, until everything else kicks in. And in the process of doing that, I was trying to do psychic work and work, and it was always falling asleep somewhere. And it just wasn't working, a lot of drain. And so in the process of being pulled between two worlds, I wasn't being really productive in either one.
Yeah, and then what happened?
And then I made a choice of what I felt like I was really destined to do. And once I threw myself into that, then I started realizing, what is 60 minutes? Think about this for a minute. What is 60 minutes? When you think about when you were in high school and think about now, and look at the distance between it, realistically, there is none.
Realistically, it's all the same person still.
Yeah. You know, like we're doing the whole thing here. And time, and we can look at the situation, time has never changed. It's water. Water never changes. It's the same molecules. It's the same structure as always. It's just that water from 100 years ago and water now.
No, but how did you make up, how did you come to your decision? That's what I want to know, because I'm not coming to my decision. I'm just, I know what I want. I just, I'm not sure if I'm going to get it. I don't know what's going on.
I'm just saying, what I did was I decided what makes, so this way, getting caught up in the money thing. You will realize one thing. If you're building a foundation on money, when the money's gone, there's no foundation. But when you sit there and focus on what you're destined to do and who you are, you always have a foundation no matter where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
What you do is you go where the strongest, you go where the strongest foundation is. That's you. And what you do, where you're the happiest. When you're sitting there working with people and you're sitting here across that table from people and you feel like you're being productive, that's more likely the most happiest place you ever was. So therefore, what you try to do is recreate that. I was working, remember the last time I did it, I was working in a hotel.
Yeah.
And I was working, and we just opened up a psyche shop. And I was still working at the hotel.
Okay.
At the same time, I was telling everybody else that you can't. You have to realize your job is not your job, your money, your employer, your boss. They are not your substance. They're not your supply. They're not your support. It's a whole lot higher source than that. And that's what you're connected with. I was sitting there telling people this. At the same time, I was still hanging on to this job at this hotel. Until I got my last paycheck and started realizing one thing, the day before I made like $225 in one day. My last check I got from this hotel, yes, just doing readings and stuff. And the last thing, and my last check from the hotel was actually $429 for 2 weeks.
Oh shit! Well, that's what I was doing. I was doing some really, it started off being okay, and then it was like 2 hours work, 2 hour travel time, and I'm realizing, you know, at my age, what am I doing? You know, I stopped working, I'm making a lot more money now.
It's not the idea, and it doesn't matter driving the time or how old you are or whatever it is. It's the idea of the realization of what you're supposed to be doing with your life is the idea of service, and that what that service is what you determine it's going to be. And so I was sitting there going, see, I was doing the same thing too. And when things wasn't going, so we're making money, that kind of stuff, right? It's the angels coming in and saying, you know something? Did you make any money today? No. And they go, okay, what's the big deal? Today is just one day out of 365 days.
It hurts emotionally when I don't make any money. No, it hurts me. It hurts my feelings.
That's because that's a worldly perception. If you're not making any money, then you have no worth. That's why you feel like
that. Well, the thing about worth is, so I just read something about self-worth. Like, the whole thing about self and the improving the self-worth is never going to work because we're already worth. We're already worth. We're like, what is there to fight for self-worth?
Mm-hmm.
You just have
so
to sharpen
skills.
And you have to align yourself with what you want. And that whole aligning yourself is the process. All the stuff about self-esteem and self-worth, it just makes people feel like they're lacking something. It'll never connect them to their higher self. No other practice connects you so deeply to your higher self than breath work.
Yeah.
Purest form of meditation.
No. Right, and I was just saying with the situation with the relationships, the same thing too. It's an illusion. Everybody says, you know something, I don't have anybody in my life right now, so there's like an empty space. And when you sit and tell them, there's
empty space, fill it up with your own self, man. Learn how to love yourself. That's what the time is about. It's not about, yeah, I want a relationship too. I can't wait to have my exciting husband or man or boyfriend. Super exciting. But once that exciting phase is over, you have to fight for it again. So it's not just then you're not wanting a boyfriend and you have to fight for that excitement. It's like that's never going to fill you up. That emptiness is a fake emptiness that is waiting for you to fill it up. And you have to fill it up by telling yourself.
But it's also thinking about this one, too. Is
sorry?
It really? Think about this, okay, sweetie? Is it really?
What?
An empty space? Or is it an illusion?
Mm.
We're not
is it
missing
really
anything.
An empty, yeah, we're. It's real because people feel that space and they feel that loneliness, and that's what's missing, and that loneliness is a part of history when they felt like lonely as a child, not even real in this moment. People are confused. They don't know what's real and what's not real. There's a lot of confusion. But there's only one message. There's only one message, and there's a lot of confusion. There's one message, and there's a lot of confusion. Oh, anyway. It was nice talking to you. I'm so glad you worked at a hotel. It sounds like an amazing experience there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you're fine. It's just the idea, like I said before. You know, once you make a decision and go in that direction, you'll see things change very quickly.
Yeah, it's finding the right thing within myself, finding the right thing, and not fearing that walls are going to be closed down on me once I commit.
Mm-hmm.
But
So just go out there and, well, I'm just saying, it's like, yeah, they're taking some of the things down. Just go forward and see what you're going to do. I mean, I'm just.
I don't know. Sorry?
Those are the things I did.
No, I'm still feeling I don't know what I want. I'm still feeling in the unknown. Still feeling in the unknown. I feel like for now I'm okay. I have some projects coming up and stuff going on. And in terms of like school and stuff, yeah, it's just these schools that I want to work in. So to ask for guidance, you know, guidance. What did I come here for?
Mm-hmm. What did you come here for?
Well, what did I come here for? I came here to be my light, to shine my light.
Okay. Then shine your light. Because that's what
shine
I was asking about.
So bright that it kills people's. It will destroy all the fears that they have and barriers, and they will want to shine their light as well.
Mm-hmm. So I was sitting there looking at the situation and going, okay, that's what I did. He's like, okay, when do you shine the brightest? When you're working with people. So how do I do that? And don't get caught up in what the world says. It's the ideal. Sit there looking at a situation like this. Are you going to keep letting the world dictate your success, or are you going to start doing it? And then you just go from there and start looking for solutions, working in places, sitting down with people. I mean, when you do stuff on a spiritual level, I'm sorry, but going to another human being to get certified as in a spiritual sense, it don't make any sense to me. We should be going to angels or guides or spiritual beings in general, the idea to get these certifications. But, you know, when you look at the situation of those kind of certifications, they don't require them. You know why? Because they have no fear.
The other thing is, like, why would people even come to you if you're not good? Even if you're licensed, and if you're not good, then why would people come to you? You're, you know, there's an attraction. It's like, you're good, people come. You're not good, people don't come. I don't know if that's completely mm-hmm. true. It also hangs up. It's also about your beliefs and stuff about success and fear of it and all that. So that plays another part of it. But why would, like, just because someone's is licensed doesn't mean that they're good or legitimate.
No, it doesn't. We have proof of that. Doctors who are malpractice, they got certifications, they got schooling, they got the whole bit. And guess what? You know,
yeah.
There are people being indicted. It's been proven that people with certification are the ones who have a tendency to rip people off quicker than anything else because of the certification they have. People who are not certified have a tendency to be one thing, to keep legitimate. Why? Because I think they're doing their job instead of trying
yeah.
to make everybody else, try to make everybody feel fuzzy and warm inside. That's not our job. Our job
yeah,
is to give
right.
them tools, give them the focus, give them direction, give them information, so therefore they can take it and do what they can do with it.
Yeah, the other ones are like, oh, take medication, take here, take medication. That's how they solve the warm, fuzzy feeling for you because they can't transmute it. So they say, oh, here, take some medication. Here's your warm, fuzzy feeling. Because they don't know anything about how to get you to the spiritual part. And I'm not saying that I know it or that I'm not saying that I know the answer, but I am trying to do things in a legitimate, authentic way where people can trust, you know, and I guess they already do. I don't have to, like, because, you know, it's all about, like, there's so much molestation going on, things like that a license is a... Having a license is a proof of safety or something. I don't know. You know, it might be. It might all be just limitation. Maybe these are excuses that I'm using in order not to live my life, you know? Fear of authorities. That authorities will stop me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that feeling?
Feeling. Say it one more time. I think I know what you're talking about because I mean, I've sat there. I've worked with people before. You know, I've actually had people sitting there going, how do you know such things? How many years of psychology have you had? I say, well, let's think about it for a minute. Psychology, the study of human behavior. And what are we? If you're a good observer, you don't have to go to college to figure out something. Because seriously, maybe, this is what I'm looking at, okay? When you go to college and school and all that kind of stuff, you are being taught a person's perception, which is also
not real. Well, yeah, it's a book.
Think about this. The law of gravity.
No. Think about this for a minute. There are a lot of spiritual people doing healing work, and they're going to the shaman, this, that, and the other, and they have no grounding. And that doesn't help either. That doesn't help either to grow. I think psychology and understanding humans, having an idea of who, what is, having that sense is important. It's important to know certain things, to have a grounding in a character, in a person, you know. That's all it is for. Just in order to stay away from vagueness, vague ideas, it's being an objective observer. That's what the studying is about. And these people, they didn't have a license to practice. They just practiced.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I love talking with you guys, but I'm so tired. I keep talking, and I'm grateful that you guys are interested.
Mm-hmm.
But,
of course.
I'm just saying.
What?
No, it was like you were talking about before, about me getting through the stuff that I've gone through. It's the idea I've learned and taught, and I've learned and done all kinds of things. It still helps. I think it's sometimes with the situations of realizing... The important thing is to help people. Sit there and see people take...
Yeah.
If you take, if I had a client one time who came to me and get a reading, it took me 20 minutes to get her to a point where she was calm enough to even do a reading. To have people with that kind of patience in the professional realm with some of these people, psychologists and psychiatrists, so many people are just good at going, and writing in their freaking little books. They're not doing anything for the people. And I think this is the thing we have to realize, too, about the work we do. It's just not the ideal what it does for everybody else, but it's also what it does for us, and it saves us probably tons of money on our own therapy because we learn so much from other people. In the process of reflections, we all reflect something back to each other. As long as we're open up to learn from each other, then it's one of those situations where you see society get close. In the process of people not doing their jobs, as they say they're doing, you see society getting close to their
body. Well, why are they not doing their jobs? Because psychology has to still notify everything in a book, and it's, you know, and goes to these insurance companies where insurance companies can read about the person and what the person has, you know, and some people are, they don't want those things to be written about them. So they talk about the weather. They go to these therapists to talk about history because they don't want the therapist to write about their history, about their problems to foreign people that have no idea who these people are.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sick system. Regular people that are hired, you know, they're not even doctors reading these notes, process notes, you know.
No, they're not. They're all certified.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense. It's all blah, blah, blah in the end, isn't it?
Yeah, look at all the people are getting, I mean, people that are, I mean, I think the certifications I've gotten is too comfortable for them to actually take advantage of situations and do things they know they shouldn't be doing. You know, to sit down and work with children is a really rewarding situation, but, you know, the situation is like this. And if you're gifted and blessed to do something, society says you have to get certified to prove it to them. And I don't think we need to prove anything to anybody. What it is, it's to me, is society needs to sit there and learn something about themselves, too, that the reason they need all this certification to make them feel secure because they're not listening to themselves and they're not doing it. We've got job agencies out here trying to find employees to fit these things. We've got agencies out here that find babysitters for people, okay? And
yeah.
Every time you turn on the news, what are we hearing? Where an agency failed and a child was put in harm situations, therapists, we have to have realtors who are putting themselves in harm's way by showing people's houses because they're more concerned about money than their own safety. So, you know, when you start to look at the situations,
you're comparing it to the worst case scenario, and then of course you are going to be, you know, the work is going to be looking more from a brighter spot. I mean, there are therapists out there that are doing, they are so smart. They just know so much about people. That's amazing, too. You know, these therapists that have studied, they have this super insight. Super brain,
different,
you know.
But
that comes from education and practice. Doesn't come from education. Comes from practice.
I'm just saying we can't just, okay, I understand that. But see, coming from a psychic point of view who also knows people very well, who knows the insights, who knows all kinds of things. Like I said before, I've worked with people time and time again who just assume that I have all this stuff that I've gone through to get there because I have the knowledge. I can still, you know, so you're still helping people. It's like
do have the knowledge and the insight because, you know, spiritual, it's all about that. It's all about higher consciousness or awareness. I don't know, the other dimension that you can use. It's your gift. I mean, when someone...
Different avenue.
And some people need you, and some people need very, very slow progress, you know, like it could take forever for them to move from A to B, and that's what they need. They don't want to, they can't go to the breath work and do some spiritual inhale, exhale stuff. They can't do that. And, you know, the world is moving slowly, but it's definitely speeding up. I'm so excited.
One thing society has to do is start learning how to feel. We got too many things doing it for us. We have phones. We have all kinds of gadgets anymore that do everything for us. I mean, people, if you take their GPSs away from them, they're lost.
And
I've had that
totally
GPS
lost.
Thing going on. I've had GPS in myself for...
Take out alcohol for nighttime, and people are completely lost about how to take care of themselves. About how to really feel a connection with your soul and really have a... And it's not the easiest life. I'm not saying that it's easy because it's Friday night. I'm not out partying. I'm not out drinking. I'm not out having dinner with friends. It's not the easiest life. But when I go out and I have dinner with these people and they drink, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not feeling good here. You know, I'd rather be where I am, you know. There's no gratification in drinking for me. That means that I don't have that many friends to go out with because a lot of people love drinking. So I have to find a different way of entertaining myself.
Yeah, most people need to drink because they can't deal with reality in the first place.
Yeah, reality. That's it. It's like, oh,
depression.
Tonight we're going to make a dirty margarita, not a regular one. So they're excited about it. They don't want to think about their recurring patterns. One day they'll hit their forehead on the wall and their life has passed them by. Like their soul, they lived a parallel life. Oh, I'm so tired. So what did you guys think of me? I really want to know. I talked so much. I want to know. You guys have been
listening to me.
Don't worry about it. I can talk plenty myself.
Okay.
What you need to do is we need to tell everybody who you are so you have clients who will come to you.
Yeah, I just feel like I just do too many things. I can't, especially this week.
Now, you're on a radio show. Why don't you just tell everybody who you are and if they want to work with you, see what happens.
Oh, my God. I'm Anna, and my Blog Talk radio name is Sekhmet128.
You're
and
what?
My Blog Talk radio name is Sekhmet.
That was crazy, wasn't it?
And
you need to maintain your Skype now, Donnie?
No, it was one of those things. I wasn't supposed to have internet until Tuesday. So I was sitting going, okay, everything just kicked in all one time.
Oh,
I can tell Skype when I hear it.
I get those notifications, too. I don't know what they're about. Anyway, I like to stay anonymous on these Blog Talk shows.
No,
I do have
a
radio show, and it's called Sekhmet 128.
What do you do on your show?
I do theta healing. Theta healing, and I used to have a guest, but I don't have her anymore.
You used to have a guest?
Yeah. I used to have a guest. She was great. And now I don't have a guest anymore.
Holy mackerel.
What happened?
Nothing.
Nothing. You had to say holy mackerel for some reason then.
That's me.
You just keep it to yourself,
what
okay?
What time is it?
Is it one or two?
Well, actually, it's 10 something here.
Oh, where are you? Colorado?
Yes, in Colorado. Where are you at?
New York.
New York, New York.
She's in my time zone.
Oh, where are you?
I'm in Maine.
Oh, Maine. I have a very good friend living in Maine. It's so beautiful there with the green.
Oh, really? Whereabouts in Maine?
I don't know.
Curious.
He's into bikes, selling bikes. Maine. Oh, do you have any messages for me about, oh, my God, anything?
I got a message from Nike. Just do it.
that was my mantra.
I'm serious. I'm focusing on the thing where it says, you know, seriously, that's what I did. I just sit here and sit heck with it because every time I would do a card reading for myself, it would keep saying, and it's funny too when you get the cards and you go,
you think you're
not qualified to do this kind of work. You're overqualified to do it. And I have other friends that come forward. I was thinking about taking on a life coach and doing some life coaching with somebody else. My friend called me and she goes, what do you think about doing that for? I said, what do you mean? She goes, am I crazy? No, you're not crazy. It's just that you should be doing it yourself. Everybody's got, you know, it's like everybody starts doing this and this and this, and she goes, it's like people have got you convinced that you have to have schooling to be talented. When most people, I've seen this in radio too, where people get hired because of their talent, not what they got behind them. Because I was a personal trainer for Gold's Gym for a long time, and the one thing I noticed that the people who went to school and all kind of stuff, the one thing they didn't do is they should have took a communication course because they couldn't communicate the stuff they had within them. So you know what happened? So they had all this knowledge, but it wasn't worth crap because they couldn't convey it to anybody. So
yeah,
what's the point?
I agree.
Who can communicate with people and do their work and get in depth and have this deep situation with people and actually make a big positive difference on people's lives.
They study communication and they can't communicate. That's how bad it is.
Okay, Dee. Yes, I'm saying. So I'm saying you should just do the work.
I was going to ask, like, if you want to, like, if I want to do this whole thing, you know, whatever, like, how do you build up on this? How do I build a clientele?
By focusing on what you want to do, as in the manifestation we were talking about before. I've noticed a difference in just really getting detailed about those manifestations, right? It's a turn, so okay. I've even sat there and had conversations with the angels saying, you know something, I can't do this kind of work unless I have clients. So could you please direct them to me? Visualizations.
Yeah.
I've seen people, we had a shop, and I was like, I would visualize doing a reading and then coming out of that reading and seeing like 10 people waiting for me. I did that for like 2-3 days, and on the third day I came out and there's all these people waiting for me to do readings and stuff. It's the idea of realizing that sometimes we get too structured with a situation like therapists do. You know, people come into them every week. This has to focus on, that's a focus on their perception is, oh, is that going to be the last person that walks in my door? Insecurity. So you look at the situation and go, every day, it's one of those things. I've seen people in great relationships who still use affirmations to make sure it keeps going smoothly.
Yeah.
So they guidance and say, okay, hey, you know, angels, please give me the signs to see the red flags. So therefore we can keep those red flags to a minimum. To get the relationship going forward and that kind of stuff like that and make it work. And then standing with readings. I mean, right now I got my affirmations right here. I'm happy and grateful for the 25 to 60-minute readings I did today through my website, psychicxjourneyman.com, earning over $1,000 a week. Thank you very much.
What? You got all your clients from Blog Talk?
No, I get my clients from everywhere. I actually work for, this is my freaking day. I work for 3 psychic companies. I have a website of my own. I do a radio show 5 days a week. And I just keep doing it and working and working and working and keep talking to everybody else. And then people start coming forward.
And you make $1,000 a week?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God. You could do this for a lifetime.
I'm just saying, you just keep going and going and going. You set goals for yourself every day. Today I want someone to walk up and give me a cup of coffee. Here you go, sir. See, it works every time.
You don't understand. Today I had a miracle happen. I was walking out This never happens to me, never, ever, ever. I walk out.
I'm sitting there telling you about miracles that keep happening to me every day, and you say, you don't understand. A miracle happened to me today. I'm like, okay, why would I not understand?
Oh, God, that was a miracle today that happened. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, guess what? I'm sitting in an apartment.
I learned two things in one minute. I learned two things. I was really sad that I lost, that I didn't lose, but this child didn't come back anymore. I worked with her two or three times, and I thought, did I do something wrong? Did I do something wrong? What happened? Like, why aren't they coming back? Like, what's the purpose? Why was she coming, and didn't she like it? And I was so doubting myself. And today I saw her father, and he's like, do you have a minute? I said, yeah, I'm so thankful for what you did. And I said, yeah, I don't know what happened. I mean, there is to be, you know, and is she okay? Like, why didn't they come back? It's like, she's so busy right now. The grandmother is here. It's not, you know, I found out it has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did something wrong. It's so insecure
about it. It had nothing to do with you. You look at the situation. You analyze the situations every time. If you feel like you've given everything you have and everything you give and you've done everything you possibly could do with that person, how can you sit here and say it's your problem? Maybe it's the idea that maybe you did such a good job that they just didn't feel like they need to come back, or maybe someone just took it offensive because some people, this is the craziest thing I found, that some people want to hang on to their issues.
Oh my God, that's exactly what I encountered. I was working with this girl, so beautiful. Everything was going very, very well. She was starting to read and write. She was 7. She wasn't reading and writing. I worked with her 4 times. Started reading and writing. Her mother was very excited. She prepaid for a session. She never came. And I thought, before that, she was going to come. I mean, before she prepaid, I thought, you know, maybe she's doing just really, really well. Maybe that's why she's not coming back. And then when I had a talk with her mother told me how awful she was doing and that they were going to the church and kind of, like, you know, helping her through God and this and that, and that she was on medication and she was doing really, really awful and she had attacks and this and that. And I'm like, oh, my God, I need to see her, but, you know, I never saw her again. It seems exactly like what you said. They're so attached to the trauma and drama. They don't want to let that go.
No.
And I understand that. I do not judge that. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Is somebody whispering? Is somebody whispering? I'm sorry.
No, I don't hear anything.
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I get very passionate when I get very passionate when these things happen. I get so passionate. I get so excited, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have compassion for where they are. This is where they are. Totally fine, because long time ago I also believed in my drama and trauma. I thought that was me. I didn't know any better.
It does kind of drive you crazy, but you know, you gotta look at the situations where people thought you were, you know. I was like focusing on the situation where people thought you were amazing.
Yeah.
Okay? And then you start looking at those situations, you realize they outweigh the ones that don't come back. And then you have other people who don't come back because you did such a good job with them in the first place. They don't need to.
I literally told someone, I don't want to, you know, we're done. I don't want to work with you anymore. I've done that, too. I just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So like, their life has drastically changed, and for now, it's enough.
Exactly.
Go.
Man.
Yeah. I think that's our goal, to keep people going. One way or the other. And I have to solve my own problem. I have to keep going, and I am. And,
uh... Okay. Well, if you want to come back on the show sometime and do a show with us, it'd be great. Fantastic.
I love talking with you guys.
Okay.
I don't like reading people, though, on the phone. You know, it's like that's hard, but I do like talking to you guys.
Great.
And maybe, just have a show together. That'd be great, for sure, yeah.
Sounds good. Just kidding.
Thank you.
You call my people, my people call your people.
I mean, that's how you guys got together, because you were first doing the show on your own, I remember.
Right. I called in and eventually just asked me if I'd invited me to join them anytime I wanted, and I became a fixture. It's been good for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I really like talking. Is this recorded or not, all this stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, everything's recorded, so you can just go back in the archives and listen to yourself and just enjoy it.
Do people really listen to the archives?
Yes, they do. I had one show called Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, and over 300 to 400 people went back in there and got that in the archive.
Wow, you're so popular, man.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll be your guest on one show and I'll do some theta healing.
Yeah, you can start with me first.
I have theta healing certifications. Yeah,
okay.
Amazing. Yeah.
Maybe you can.
I think, yeah, okay. You could use some of that.
Yes. So
just get
the information. Yeah, just get the information, sit down and talk, or call me tomorrow.
Well, if you want a session, you have to pay for it. I can't just, like, do free sessions.
No,
way too
I didn't think. No.
I'm, like,
no
way
problem.
Too advanced for that.
No problem. I'm just saying, give me a call tomorrow. Just we sit down and talk about it and figure out something.
Okay, I'll call you tomorrow in the show then.
There you go. Or you can call me earlier if you want. I'm just saying. Sit down, talk, do the whole thing. Come on the show tomorrow. You're more than welcome to show up anytime you like to, okay?
Okay. I will definitely call back. If I don't call tomorrow, I will call back again.
All right. Well, thank you for calling tonight.
But do you think that guy in my dream was real?
Do I think he was real?
I really want a boyfriend like that in my dream. He was really beautiful, that man. I was getting chills.
I would look at the dream as being a grounding dream. In the process of grounding like that, then you would acquire a boyfriend like that.
Grounding like what?
Just working on extra grounding.
Okay.
I know it's like when you start working with people and that kind of stuff, it does have a tendency to disrupt your grounding. Where sometimes I had a friend that was like doing grounding techniques after about every 2 to 3 clients. Every freaking day, because it was just like the energy and everything goes with it will, you know, lift you up to the point where you need that extra grounding.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there are different ways to ground. It's good. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was wondering, like, how do you work back-to-back with people? You know, you have to ground. I guess grounding is one way to start over with a new one, you know, do some breath.
Yeah.
Breathing.
Yeah, we do. What was it? We're doing grounding. We're doing chakra clearings. Drinking extra water.
Yeah, extra water. That's what I do.
Someone mentioned
like
coconut water. And I was just like, I don't know if I can do that, but
yeah, it's expensive.
We might venture down that road, but I actually found some CDs too.
Oh, it's so wonderful talking to you guys, man. Shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem.
I'm gonna call back and then we'll talk.
All right, you have a great night. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Yeah, have a good weekend. You guys take care. It was lovely talking to you. Bye.
Now, will
do. Bye-bye now. So, Dee, is there anybody else in the chat room? I mean, in the queue?
We have 3 more callers.
Okay. Bring them on.
Okay. We have 818.
Is this Susan? Is she with us? Hello?
I don't know. I'm having trouble. This thing is acting up again. Hold on.
Okay, no problem.
I'm going to have to do the... I don't think it's not coming through. Everything's getting a little funky again.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll try this one more time. This is getting absurd. Oh, fine. This means we exit. I have... Oh. This is ridiculous.
There we go.
Okay. One more round of going through... Oh, Lord. This gets ridiculous after a while. I think I need a new computer.
Really? You think?
This thing does the strangest, weirdest crud. Ah, okay. Here we go again. Back into the studio. Hoi vey. I don't... What the heck did this just do? Oh, one of these days. Ah! I want... There we go. Yeah. Eventually, it'll get me where I want to go.
Be careful. This will say be careful. One more time, I'm going to shoot him.
We have... And I'm trying to get into the queue again.
I had a palm reading on a random that someone had requested in the last 2 days. No one's requested anything in the last freaking week. As soon as I don't have internet, everybody wants to request everything.
This has gotten bizarre.
I said I didn't have internet access for 2 days. And they're like, well, next time be careful. How am I supposed to be careful? You're right, next time I won't sit there and go play with the dish.
Now that I've pulled the thing up again, six, we have whoever was there.
Working for ZMC today, too, and dropped some calls. I didn't drop the calls. I was just there and talked to him. All of a sudden I went, and I was like, how come I keep losing a signal from time to time? I don't lose any bars.
I figured if I use
the house phone for ZMC, I probably won't lose any more calls. And I'll be able to take them for duration between 15 to 75 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Somebody wanted to know if the show was over.
So how's it feel to have that, to sit there and gnaw on that cheek steak?
We seem to have...
No, Dee's trying to get the switchboard to work so we could actually... There's three other
callers
out there.
Well, the switchboard has gone funky again. I have
the numbers
are up there before aren't, but I have a 603.
You can call me on my
and when it comes
number,
through with a bunch of ones,
and
somebody just said they called from overseas, and I just asked them what
their
number is. You can
only ask two questions per person, because it's been one of those freaking stressful days where I just need a nap. So you can call my home number if we can't get you on. If you're still listening, hello, hello, hello.
I'm going to...
give me a call. My number is 740-500-8863. You can ask two questions per person.
Unreal. I'm trying for the switchboard again. I got all screwed up. Yes.
Hello?
I'm right here.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
What the heck? I'm having trouble with the switchboard.
If you tried to refresh the keyboard.
Yeah,
what?
I know. When I refresh, it goes funky, so I have to go back in again.
That's true, too, but listen to me. If you try to refresh it after the show's over with and it's just recording, it will cancel everything out and the show's over.
Oh.
So if you already did that, then there's nobody there.
There were two people in queue.
I know, but if you refresh the queue after the show's over with, Blog Talk Radio automatically assumes that you ended the show. It's over.
Well, they don't say it's over.
Well, it probably would sit there for a while. But if you can't click on anybody, nothing's coming up, then there's nobody
there. Let's find out.
I put out there and say, give me a call. Give me a call on my home phone right now.
Is 603 there?
Hi, yes, I am.
I told you, Donnie.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, well.
That is weird.
Okay, sweetie, what's your name?
Hey, this is Prem.
This
Hi.
Is...
I guess the full moon is playing tricks on you, huh?
Something's playing tricks on something.
Okay, you say your name is what now?
Prem, P-R-E-M.
Pin?
Prem, P for piano, R for rainbow, E for elephant, M for money.
Quinn?
Prem.
Okay, Quinn. You say Q as in queen?
No, P, S in piano, R for rainbow, E for elephant, M for money.
Oh, Prim. Prim. Okay, we talked to you before. I know we have.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Yeah, we were supposed to talk about something. It's been so chaotic lately.
I know.
Last time I talked to you, I was still in Ohio, wasn't I?
I think so, yeah. That was a while.
Yeah, I'm actually, where am I at now? Colorado.
Where am I?
Well, I'm just saying, I just moved from, I was living in a hotel from March until about last week, and now I'm in a hotel, not a hotel, I'm in my apartment. I finally got my apartment.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm kind of disoriented because I can't find my lighter. It's for candles, guys, okay? So, what's up with you? Huh? Can we help you tonight?
I mean,
you can help us tonight.
I think we all could use a little help. Well, let's see. I'm going through a huge transition. And, well, in other words, I basically lost everything I own. And I had to give up everything I owned. And I'm overseas right now visiting family because my mom, she's not well. And I'd like to know about, I guess, job-wise when I go back to Dallas, because I live in Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And... with that and some direction.
What?
And some direction. I'm pretty much open.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No,
and yeah, and I've got this friend who I've been very close with. We've been really good friends, and I kept getting this feeling when I was here that, gosh, you know, I feel like he's been going through my stuff, and I just kept pushing it back in my head. I'm like, no, that's not true, you couldn't be. And it was like I kept hearing it more and more in my head, and I'm thinking, did he really? So I guess I'd like to know if that's true. I just feel like he's been going through my computer, and, you know, that's not cool.
Your friend. That's kind of cruel, or not nice.
No,
you,
that's not cool.
You can definitely pick up on the information of that one. It's definitely a certainty. So you say you're going back to Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as possible?
What's that?
As soon as possible?
As soon as possible. I've been here like 2 months, and I'm ready to go back home.
And where are you at?
I'm in Asia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm homesick. I want to go home to my little pets and get on with my life and try and get a truck again, an apartment. I basically lost everything. I'm sick and tired of it.
Well, that's one of those things you see going back and getting that thing falling in place a lot quicker.
What's that?
Well, actually, should say I see things falling in place very quickly for you when you decide to go.
Oh, awesome.
I mean, it's almost like look at the situation, go, okay, going back to Dallas. And then before you even sit on a, before you put your foot on a plane, pretty much all those things you were just talking about are taken care of before you even depart.
Mm. Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'm so homesick. I want to go home.
We definitely feel it's going to happen.
Yeah, a friend. Now, a friend.
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking the question: how soon you want it to happen? I could give you a month.
Before I get home.
Something like that, yeah. I keep getting a month variation on the whole thing, but it's not going to take very long at all. It's just the ideal is just you're homesick and wanting to make sure you sever the ties accordingly.
Sever the ties.
Sever, cut, snitch.
Mm-hmm.
Work, work.
Like, I got that part. That's cute.
Oh, wow. I'm just saying, it just seems like things are going to go boom, boom, boom.
Yay. Oh, I'm so ready.
Yeah, it's going to work.
Yay. Oh, that gives me back
a
hope.
I guess it's the idea. Yeah, to get you some affirmations and go, today's the day. Let's go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
It's like I was telling a friend of mine, it's like getting a $400 a week pay or $1,000. Those things started off as people asking me, how much you make a week? And I would say, that's how much I would say. And at first I wasn't making that much, but it seemed like the more I kept saying it, it's like things started resonating with that. Next thing you know, that's what happened.
Making it real. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's the same thing when people go, when are you going home today?
Yeah.
You even have a nice little conversation with yourself. I've done this before, too. It's like, hey, Donnie, how much money do you make? How much do you make doing readings a week? $1,000. How much? $1,000. You make $1,000. I make $1,000. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? I'm fantastic. And then if people ask you the same question, you just sit and go, yes, thank you. I make $1,000. It's great. It's fantastic. You should try doing what you're going to do, too, and make what you want to do. It's like, it's like sending a message on to everybody else. And, you know, I was sitting there telling this one guy, I was telling him about the technique. He goes, but you wasn't making $1,000. I said, okay, I'm done with you. Bye-bye. And he's like, what's wrong? I said, it's like this. Either work with me or don't. But if you're going to sit there and give me the negative, I already know what I'm doing, and I'm trying to change that. So, therefore, I don't need to focus on what already is. I'm focusing on what I want. So that we start focusing on those things just accordingly, you know. It's like I was starting focusing on the same thing with apartment. And then something materialized. I said, I want an apartment now. I'm tired of living here in a situation. So I know I don't want to be here anymore, but I do know where I want to be at. So I'm going to go need to find an apartment. Mm-hmm. And then so I can almost like say, no, we're going to center. Something's going to come to me. Now I'm in the midst of waiting for furniture.
Oh, yeah.
I was irritated. I was trying to get some advice from people, too. I went to Aaron's to get some furniture. And they gave me a hard time. But they said, well, you have a laptop with Aaron's in Ohio, but you haven't told them nothing about it. And it says in your contract that you can't leave the state with this stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, really? I said, it's a laptop. What do you think I was going to do with it? Nail it to my desktop? No. So it's like the ideal looking at people and saying, I've done this before. And then they said, well, you have three times that you actually return stuff. But they said, we see that you paid for your computer on the one. I bought a computer from them and paid the whole thing off. And then I had a couple of things after that where I couldn't, so I gave them back the stuff. Okay? But now I have a laptop I'm actually paying for. And I walk in the place, and the guy started talking. He goes, well, how do we know that you didn't pay too much in advance so you could disappear? I'm sitting there going, I'm thinking to myself, dude, I'm sitting here talking to you face to face. How insecure are you? The one guy says, I don't even want to work with you. I said, why not? He said, well, you got these three things here. I said, okay. And he said, this one almost went 60 days past due. I said, yes, but it didn't. There are no such thing as almost. Either it is or it isn't.
Oh, correct.
That's your perception to justify, okay?
Uh-huh.
So So I was sitting there going, the guy said, well, you have to have proof of, you have to have a proof of income. You have to give us statements of all your, the companies you work for, and it consecutively pay. You know, and you also have to pay too much in advance in order to get anything here. And I was just sitting there going, you know something, this just became complicated. I don't think this is the avenue for me to get furniture through. Because it just got complicated.
Right.
It shouldn't be complicated. I mean, it should have been simply walking in. I got the money in my freaking card right here. I found this nice, I call it a moon-shaped sectional with wooden tables, and I wanted a wood because I like to keep ground when I do readings and stuff. I like to sit at the desk and that kind of thing. I thought that would be the first thing to start off with. It was $109 a month, and it was right in the parameter. The whole thing was just fine. All of a sudden, these guys came in the situation and said, well, we don't want to work with you because of these outstanding things here. And the idea, what I couldn't understand was, why was I not being, here I am paying on the computer, I'm paying up until June. And they jumped the gun real quickly, and I was being judged because of certain situations and certain instances that have already happened to them.
Right.
And now it's being conveyed and being the whole thing. So they're thinking, it's going to happen again. I said, no, you asked for something different, and I was different, but you didn't see it, so therefore you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose a customer just like that when you could have simply had the whole thing right in front of you, which made the situation more difficult than it had to be, because it was like I wasn't being judged on the things I accomplished. I was being judged on the things, and even with the situation, I didn't have any infractions on there I wasn't 60 days past due. All they could have been returned. There was no problems with anything except for. They were looking at the implications of not having any, you know, the money coming in. So the money
Got
is
it.
More important. Yeah. Who's shuffling cards?
Not me.
I don't hear anything.
Okay, well, that's good, guys. I never asked if you heard anything. I just said, who's shuffling cards?
No, I'm not shuffling cards.
It's okay.
I'm typing in the chat room.
Okay, so it must be typing is what it is.
I don't know. Yeah, I was having trouble with that. I told somebody in the chat room that I would read for them after the show was over, so we were figuring it out. Since it was hard to read in the chat room, and I told them just call and we'll finish up where we started.
So you're gonna read for them? So you're going to pull up that big edition of Titanic you got and read to them?
Yeah.
You know, and my brother did it one time too. He says, don't go watch Titanic. Because, you know, the ending's disappointing. Because I'll tell you right now, the ship sank. Oh, she ruined the whole thing for me.
Well, what did he think?
Well, the situation I looked at was my brother's about the most non-romantic person in the world because that wasn't how it ended. That wasn't what the story was about, really, if you think about it.
Mm-mm.
It was a love story that Titanic was a part of, but it wasn't really about Titanic because it would have been.
Right.
I think it would have been more graphic, don't you think? But they really put a lot of heart into the relationship. I thought it was kind of funny. I was reading the reviews when it first came out, and people were sitting there going, do you know the guy that was playing the male part? He's gay. That's why he didn't kiss the girl in the movie. And I'm sitting there going, let's go back and watch the movie and see how many times he actually kissed her. And the one scene where she jumps from the lifeboat back into the ship, he must have kissed her 20 times just in that one scene. Boom, boom. So you're looking at the situation going, it's like when I told a friend of mine, it's all about Rocky. I don't like boxing movies. I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry, it's a chick flick, okay? It's about a guy and a girl, and it's about how a guy's life changed from being a thug who actually matured into something as a human who also in the process acquired so much by learning how to love himself that he actually attracted someone to love him too. And he actually found one of the best relationships, one of the strongest loves he's ever had his whole life because he changed his outlook. He changed his perception. And I said, how come people can't see that? In the process of one person changing their perceptions in three or four movies, how a man's life changed. It was even a scene in one of the movies where his trainer was like saying, I can't put you any more boxing because you're going to lose because you've basically acquired human, it's like, how do you put it? It's like, you acquired your humanity, so now when you go into the ring, you think about your component and how it's going to hurt him. So you're thinking, and you're being more compassionate about both sides of the equation. You know, he tore back and beat the hell out of the guy, but it was one of those things of when you put yourself into something, you should always complete it and put yourself completely in it. And so I was sitting there going, how come people didn't see this? They always see the surface. But if you watch those people's lives, they're the same way in their lives, too. They're on the surface. They can't see anything. But what they don't have. We were talking the last lady, we were talking about the relationships. People looking for that missing piece. There is no missing piece. It's you. It's a perception. When you also we talked about manifestation. If you're focusing on filling a space that's empty, then you're focusing on nothing. What you should be focusing is focusing on yourself. When you focus on yourself and find who you are, you realize there are no missing pieces. It's just the ideal things you're going to acquire through life. A partner, a job, or if it's something simply as one day, I just want to have a dollar bill to be a part of my life so I can go get a piece of candy. It's as simple as it is. So it's with your situation. You're looking to go home. What you should be focusing on is being home. The in-between is what you're supposed to live. So you'll really have to think about that part, how it's going to unfold. Because more than likely, if you focus on the objective of what the outcome is going to be, and it's a positive thing of where you're going, then pretty much the journey itself is going to be a positive thing too, don't you think? Hello? Is everybody thinking?
She must have disappeared.
Is anybody else in the queue?
Yep. Hold on. In the queue.
That's the switchboard.
Okay, here we go. This is whoever they are at 1111111111. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Who?
William.
Okay, William. Ah.
Hi.
Got it.
How's it going, William?
I have a question regards to what you see coming forward for the rest of the year regards to my finances.
Looking up, William.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
They're looking up.
Good, D.
They're looking. What does that mean?
It's like looking at a heel, and you're at the bottom of it, and your finances are going to progress upwards and keep getting better, and it should start. It should have already started. So you should also focus on your perceptions. Are you focusing on anything that's taking you away from your agenda? Then you should take your focus in a different direction so that the progression can keep going forward.
What field of work do you see this in, and do you see it as a self-employed or a job?
I would focus on self-employment.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, because I think that's what you really want.
I just feel like it being more progressive. I feel like you can put more into it, and you have more control over the whole situation and which direction it's going to go into. A lot more than you think. The job is not so much. It's the idea of more or less.
Yeah, but there's bills that need to be paid, you know, each month, and I understand, you know, manifestation and all that, but that's not really reality, okay? Reality is the fact that...
Yeah. Okay, let's get this way.
Whatever's
going to
happen is going to happen.
Every time you focus on
the outcome.
Every time you focus on anything, it is always a thought before it becomes reality. That is manifestation. Now,
predetermined. I mean, you can't say, okay, tomorrow I'm focusing, I'm going to win the lottery, and you're going to win the lottery. That's not a reasonable.
Okay, okay, so what you're saying, William, should I give the money back?
What do you mean?
Right now, I'm working for myself, self-employed. I came back here on a freaking bus ticket that I actually sat there and focused and said, I wish somebody would just pay for my trip back to Colorado. 2 days later, that's exactly what happened, and the next day I took the bus back here. I was living in a hotel for about, since like 2 months, doing my work, manifesting readings, manifesting the money, exactly what I needed to do. And it seemed like it worked a whole lot better the more I focused on what I was supposed to be doing instead of working a job. And that's exactly what I'm doing. Now I'm sitting in a new apartment, and that's what I was trying to tell everybody before. I'm sitting in a new apartment that I haven't even paid for yet. And I've been here for 4 days, and I don't have to pay the first month rent until the 8th. Because I focused on a person. I focus on situations like this. Not just the idea of manifesting money, but also manifesting opportunities, situations, people that are going to cooperate and work with me in the process of what I'm trying to focus and trying to create. And it's happened just that way. So I can't sit there and tell you something that what you want me to tell you. I can just tell you what I've already experienced and what I'm experiencing right now at this moment. And it seems like all my bills and everything being paid more efficiently by me working for myself and focusing entirely on this, because this is what I'm destined to do. And this is where I'm the happiest. This is where I'm most fulfilled. So everything works just like that. And it's exactly what I saw for you in the process of making that decision. I just had this morning, too. I was talking to a friend of mine who was doing the same thing. How am I going to make a choice between a job and self-employment? Because I feel like the job is more secure. But that's worldly thinking. So that's the idea. I understand what you're saying. And I agree with you. Everybody has a whole different way of doing things. I'm just saying it's going to come down to that point where you're going to go, I gotta make a decision. What's really more important to me? Not the world, but you.
Well, it is important because I have people depending on me to pay the rent. So the world
so
is important because you have to make the bill, and you can't live in a dream that somehow something's gonna happen. You have to take action.
True, and I have taken action every time.
Just evolve, like, you know.
If I don't do my work, which is the action part, then it doesn't happen. But I'm just saying, the process, the idea of attracting all the opportunities to do so, I just feel like it's the idea of what you're putting into. Which, you know,
I mean, I agree with you. You should stay focused on, you know, your end goal and what you need to do, and you keep at it and so forth. But, you know, when I'm talking about psychic stuff, psychically, you should see what's going to happen regardless of what the person does, what the outcome's going to be. That's really
true
a psychic
too.
Look. You know, in other words, if I didn't call you, what was going to happen with me 6 months from now? Where will I be? Regardless of if I decide to manifest or sit in a corner. In other words, what's the outcome 6 months from now without me doing anything?
Well, if you're okay in a situation like that, what would happen to you if you didn't do nothing? I don't think you need to.
No, I mean right where I'm at right now. I'm going to be who I was before I called you. So what do you see happening 6 months from now?
I still see you a whole lot more financially. Now I've lost track on the whole thing on that one. I still feel like 6 months from now, the idea of where financially you'll be at is the ideal of focusing on this job, particular job. You wonder what that job is. But see, the one thing, sometimes I just don't get everything. Because some things are choices.
No, I understand that. I'm not trying to
have to be done,
I'm
you know.
Because
I sit here and say, I saw the impressions of your money and just your finances and everybody else being just a whole lot more stable in 6 months.
Okay.
A whole lot more stable. How that's going to happen?
Yeah,
I think you're going to have a change of attitude.
No, I'm just saying, not even with the change of attitude, I'm just saying if you want to focus on what you feel like you need to do, which is the ideal of focusing on a job and more on the self-employment, where you're actually going to try to do both at the same time.
Okay.
That's what I see you're going to do. You're going to sit and work on both of these things at a time where it's going to get down to the 6 months where you're going to go, okay, I need to make a choice which direction I'm going to go into because it's getting exhausting.
Okay, that's what you see happening. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I see because, I mean, I've had this before, too. I've done readings with people in my shop who sit there and go, okay, what do I do for a living? My angels will sit there and say, who cares? You should know that. This focus on something important. Let's figure out what you're going to do with that. You want to move your business. You want to do certain things. You want to invest more money. You want to do certain things. You already know these things. Now it's just the ideal of focusing and following through with those situations. Hold up, man.
Do you see some career in my future that I should pursue between, let's say, law or professor? cancer or some other line of work?
The thing I see the most focusing before some reason is just keeps coming strong as its professor. But it keeps getting more, it's not just the ideal professor, it's just the ideal teaching. And the situation of how you relate to people and how rewarding it is.
Because I do teach now, you know, I do some...
And my eyes hurt. do you wear glasses?
Part of the time I do teach. Do I wear glasses?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, has anybody ever told you they should?
Well, I know that my eyesight's not as good as it should be, and I struggle a little bit with it, but I'm in between, you know, doing the LASIK surgery because I'd rather not wear glasses.
Okay, William, so can we actually focus on maybe attracting somebody who's got some Reiki to heal your eyes instead of going through the process of spending, like, thousands and thousands of dollars eyeglasses? But, no, I'll just say I had a friend of mine the other day call me up, and she's like, I need to manifest $1,800 for my cataract surgery. I said, why don't you just manifest a healing and save yourself about $1,800?
Yes, okay.
You see how we have a tendency to focus too much on worldly things and let the world dictate our success when we should be doing it ourselves. And that's all I'm saying to you, Williams. You choose the path, and you choose the way you're going to do it, because you're going to do that anyway. Of course, I'm just saying, when I saw the whole situation, I just
thought...
There
is a path. There's a better path out there for everybody that they may not mm-hmm. be on. Some are on it, some are not, right? So there's a certain
that's
path
true.
They need to move on to. And you get confused because that's part of life. You're not sure, like, well, I'd like to do this, but I feel I should do this. And, you know, eventually you end up making a choice, and that choice may not be the correct one for you, so you end up miserable, okay? That's actually what happens. So that's why
saying.
I'm asking you.
Okay, what I see,
like,
what I'm saying.
I can't be an astronaut, okay. No matter what you manifest,
I understand
somebody
that. I'm just saying, with the way that I've been so successful is the ideal of listening to intuition, angels. Some people think it's crazy, but I know for a fact that every time I've had any kind of inkling or any kind of situation has come to me that I followed
yes.
through with, I just felt like it was guidance. And if you do the research, you'll find out that Thomas Edison did the same thing. The guy who actually wrote the fifth, I can't remember his name now. The freaking guy who wrote the music. Oh, shoot, that sucks.
You mean
anyway.
Beethoven and his symphony?
Yes, Beethoven. A lot of these guys listen to
him. Oh, whatever the word is. Symphony.
Either they had a dream or a vision or something just came to them, and when they followed through with that thought, that idea, that guidance, then things changed very quickly. It's like Thomas Edison. I like that. I like his philosophy because somebody said, you know, you made 1,000 mistakes on how to make a light bulb. He said, no, I didn't. I just found a 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb. And so he was always looking at ways in positive ways of saying, okay. But
right.
in the process of all those things, I did learn one thing, how to make a light bulb, which actually changed the world. Like the telephone. I mean, the telephone was another one where if he would have listened to the world on how electricity works, the phone would never been invented because it operates on a lower vibration, which electricians at that time told you it was impossible to even do. But he said no, and he did it anyway, and now we have all this freaking technology because one person listened to themselves and said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Because guidance came to me and said, this is what I need to do. And he did it, and it worked. Because divine intervention to me is always something that they can see things that we can't, and they always seem to bring us to our light. And when we sit here and listen, we can be right every time if we listen. Because the term second-guessing yourself came about because we have a tendency to listen to the ego more than we listen to our intuition.
Right.
So the ego always kicks in and says, you know something? You can't do that. Or you should think about this. Ooh, it starts feeding into your fears. But the very
right.
first thing that comes through usually doesn't make sense. But I guarantee if you follow through with it, your life will get better. Because I've actually tested this so many times where I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Every time a thought comes through when I'm trying to make a decision, I'm going to make sure, first of all, I'm going to make sure the question is very clear. So therefore, the answer should be very clear. And when the answer comes through, the very first thing comes through, I'm going with it. And I've always noticed every time I do that, I get myself out of situations so freaking quickly, and I'm sitting so pretty in a matter of days that I can't dismiss it anymore. And I know where to go. Like when things start going downhill, That's because I'm listening to the world tell me how I should do it. And that's how, I'm just saying, that's what I do. And when I start doing readings for people, that's what they tell me. They go through my experiences, what I've done through to point out to you. I'm not telling you this is a good theory. I'm telling you I've lived it, and I'm still living it. I'm sitting in an apartment I haven't paid for yet. I've been here since April 30th. Just because I was tired of the hotel, and I said, okay, Angels, I'm tired of the hotel. I want to sit in a freaking apartment. At first, it started, and it was like, okay. And I do have times where there's days where I go, nothing's happening today. But right. As soon as I start listening to my intuition, it's like, it's so funny that one day I didn't have any money to even pay on the hotel. But in a matter of 2 hours, by just sitting here listening to one guidance that came to me to call a friend of mine that I wasn't comfortable doing, but once I did it, it was so simple because I remember calling the guy and said, I hate to say this, Richard, but could you lend me $125 so I can stay on this room? And he's like, done. When do you need it? And I was like, God, that was so freaking easy. I could have done that. I could have done it the day before. But
yeah,
it freaked me out. And after I opened that door, and then I think there was two more readings came after that. And in less than 2 hours, I made over $250. Just
wow.
Because I listened to make, just because I listened to that guidance, my angels have never let me down. And when things don't go my way, there's always direction pointing to me saying, no, you don't need that. And then something else happens more. Like Richard, when I asked Richard for the 125, I knew it was guidance because when he sent me the money, he didn't send me 125. He sent me 150. Every time I see anything like that happen, I always get more than what I asked for. So that's what I was saying with your situation. I just, you know, just try a different way of thinking. And just try to see what happens with this thing. And I wouldn't even go that way. I don't like the word try. Just go ahead and follow through with
right.
it and see what happens. Because I just feel like it's going to be something to be very powerful. Because, I mean, when I watch The Secret, the one thing I like about The Secret, and it's the only thing I really like about The Secret, when it says do something extraordinary so that when it does happen by your intentions, then you'll start realizing what you can do and start
right.
feeding into what you can't do. And start realizing you can do anything you want to. The reason I feel like you and me are an astronaut is because I don't think you'd be really suitable for it because you wouldn't enjoy it. It'd be a pain in the butt. Anyway, I'm just saying there's certain things we don't do because they're pointing out to us what we really have to do. What we really want to do will contribute to the person. I guarantee if you find a service, if you find one service that you feel happy and love to do to everybody else and give, then you'll be rewarded 10 times fold. Because I've noticed myself, too, that when I start getting caught in the money thing, that's when it gets shut off. When I start focusing on just service, I remember one day I sat there and told myself when I was sitting in my shop, I said, you know something, I really don't care if I make any money today or not. All I want to do is sit down and work with people and make a difference in their lives. And that was the day I made the most money.
Right.
So I'm saying to you, pick what you love to do, and I guarantee you'll be the answer. If you want to do like most people do, you want to work a job and do yourself and do your service too, then you do what you feel is comfortable for you. I can sit here and see you 6 months from now, that's what you're going to be doing. But I just feel like you're going to come to a point where you're going to go.
But the passion I've always had has not worked out for me, so how do you explain that?
That's true too, buddy. But what you need to do is you need to sit here and wipe the slate clean and say there have not been any mistakes. Just ways that I have found out to keep getting here. Now I'm here. I must have done something right. Because you're sitting here breathing and you're sitting here talking to me about making a major decision in your life, what you should really be doing with your life. I'm just feeling before
right.
I can pick up with everything going, you should just follow through with that and forget the mistakes because you haven't had any mistakes. You just found out where you shouldn't go. That's what I told you about Thomas Edison. I mean, he refused to think about making mistakes. He just focused on, I found out what I needed to find out. Like the last lady was telling me she wasted all this time, all those years on this and any other. She still learned a lot about herself, so it wasn't a waste of time. It's the same thing with your situations. All those mistakes pointed out things about yourself. That's how you knew how to go and get away from the situation and keep moving forward, just like you're doing now. I'm just saying, when you sit here and ask you the question, I just see you working a job and still working on the self-employment. But then I saw this other picture where I did the same thing. We opened our first shop, and I was still working at a hotel, and I had to make a decision which was more important to me. And I started realizing that it doesn't matter which one of those I do. The reason I was successful at either one of them was because of what I did. It didn't matter about if it was self-employed or a job. I was the one that dictated that success. Nobody else. I make decisions in my life. Nobody else. When I make the wrong one, I did it. When I make the right one, I did it. All those mistakes I made, whoa. But look at all those things I accomplished. Now there's mistakes, too, of all the things I accomplished.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, if I told everybody, I said, if you see my apartment and see where I'm sitting at, it's not one of those things where someone just handed it to me. You know, it was some focus and some intensity, and I got very descriptive about what I wanted. It's a very quiet neighborhood. And it's basically what I need, what I want. It's quiet. It's very suitable for the kind of work I do. And
nice. Colorado, huh?
Yeah, so now it's just the idea of manifesting that furniture. And like I said before, I was going to go to Aaron's and thought it was a smooth transition, but as soon as I got into the situation, and then also they started making it more complicated, it just points out to me that that's not the way to go. Because I know for a fact, when I started doing this really intensely like 6 years ago, I was living here the first time, and I was actually at a point where I was homeless for about three, I was homeless to the point where I was working at a hotel, and I was sitting there going, okay, angels, I think the reason I'm here is because I haven't listened. And then I started realizing there was so many things that were pointing out to me that the people who did do things to me to maybe put me in that position, I didn't listen. They were just being who they were. They were jerks. And they were, you know, they were insecure about a lot of things, so they were trying to put me in a situation to keep me on the same level as they was. When I made a decision and said no more, I need to walk away from this whole situation and I need to start living my life the way it's supposed to. It's like I said to them, listen, my angels, and the first thing they said was go to this hotel over here. And if you've seen the strip down through here, it's all hotels. It's a tourist place. And my question was, why this particular hotel? I didn't realize by walking into this one particular hotel that three or four months later, she was going to be the one lady that connected me to a shop that actually put me in my very first shop. But I didn't know that at first. I just saw it as a place to stay for the 2 days until I got paid to get to a certain point. But as soon as I sit there and took that first step and said, hey, because I said to her, my guides are saying, go to this hotel. I'm like, I got $15. It's $35 a night. And they go, miracles are like this. Miracles are things that defy reality. But also the reality is also determined by society. So you're going to ride above that whole thing. You're focusing on angels with people. I still have a lot of problems with that one. I said, okay, I'm not going to argue. I'm going to walk in here. And I walk in that freaking place, and it was so funny. I was there to talk to her, and I told her about the lady I had problems with and why I was there. Talked to her for about an hour. She looked me right in the face. She said, I promised myself I wouldn't do this again, but I'm going to give you a room. And wow. she never asked me for any money up front. All she did was, she said, if you're not here on Friday, I'm going to kick your stuff out. Do you know that when Friday came up there, I had to work over? And I forgot all about it and didn't show until Saturday. Do you realize my stuff was still sitting in the room? She even cleaned my room and made my bed. So some people have a tendency to say things because they feel like in those moments they've made those decisions, they feel a bit vulnerable. So they have to throw a little scenario on top of it, you know, saying, be here Friday or you're out. But seriously, it was about 3 or 4 months later. The next thing I was sitting in a shop that she actually had referred me to work in the first place. I felt, now, you know, sometimes things don't make no sense. But as long as you keep following through, they will.
Okay. Now, like you said, there was a school at Aaron's, and so you decided that's not the place. Now, that can happen as far as a career choice. Like, you know, I'm throwing it out there, like, I like to pursue being an attorney. I also love teaching, so I want to pursue a PhD at this point. I also would like, my passion has really been trading the commodity markets. So these are all passions of mine. So now, couldn't you be struggling with one, and that means you shouldn't be doing that one? And that's a conflict between, oh, you can do whatever your passion is?
Well, actually, the way mine's turned out, where everything I've ever done in my whole life, experienced, and all the things I'd worked before, where I was trying to figure out why am I even here, because it's not working out, and the process of putting myself in the career I'm in now, all those things have come into play. So I'm using all my talents and all my gifts and everything that goes along with it. It was just the idea of finding, because I know what you're saying, because I talked to several people where I feel like we have all those gifts for a reason, because they're also be utilized. It's just the idea of finding the right career where they all come into play.
So it's not any career that you want to pursue, I mean, the career is going to work for you.
Yeah, because
you can't really...
See, the one thing I know for a fact, that when you put yourself in something you really love to do, you love doing that, and you put your most into that, and you get the most
right.
out of it. And so the people you with also get the most out of it, because you're giving 100% of yourself. That's what I was saying before, when I was sitting, when the message came to me and said, focus on the one thing that you love to do, and everything else will come into play. And then you'll see why. Because it's like, at that time, you feel like you're on your game, and you don't feel like you can do anything wrong. And even the process, like I went to Aaron's. I don't have no furniture right now in this place, and I'm getting really sick of sitting on the floor. But I made it, you know, it's like I went down there thinking it was going to be a smooth transition. You have to understand one thing. Sometimes with the idea of manifestation, the reason sometimes you can actually, some people would call it a mistake. I call it not reading people right. Like when I first walked in, the place, everybody's like, hello, hello, how you doing? It was so freaking phony.
Right.
And it was like, so you just learn to pay attention that when you walk into places, it's going to work out for you. That's because you're walking in sincere. You're very sincere when you walk in the door. When people are not, it's not a turnaround. So when I first got here, I walked in this one place up here on the hill, looked at this apartment. I had this voice in my head screaming, this is not it. Turn around and walk out. And I was like, boy, that was freaking loud. But it was kind of funny, too. When I walked out of there, I started seeing certain points that they started pointing out to me why that was not going to be it. It was just for the drunk hanging down the looks can be deceiving, but your intuition never will be.
Yeah, I need to get more introspective here and not and see what flows my, you know, what feels the best.
I think the combination of being a lawyer and being a teacher are going to work for you the best, and a combination of working those both together.
Oh, okay.
I think you're a very talented teacher, and you can teach anybody anything.
I mean, you're doing a good job. I got a lot out of what you had to say, so I appreciate it.
So when you go to write, let me ask you also think about the book you were going to write too.
How'd you know I was working on that?
You want to ask that question of a psychic?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you guys have a good night, and thank you.
You too.
You're welcome, man. Thank you for calling, too. Thank you. You have a fantastic weekend. Oh, come on. Okay, Dee, we have any more people in the queue?
Nope.
Okay, so let's all say goodbye so I can take a nap. Man, I swear this has been one freaking draining show.
There's nobody in the queue, just me and somebody on Yahoo.
Okay.
Somebody wanted a reading and chat, and it was a little difficult with everybody going back and forth. So I told her I'd read for her after the show for free.
Well, you have a good night, and go finish
you
your
too.
Reading, and then I guess we'll see you tomorrow night then. Thank you.
Right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And everybody out there, have a good night. May God and the angels bless you every minute of every day, and give love where love is given. If you want to give me a call, give me a call. Information's in the queue. No, it's not in the queue, because, I mean, I wasn't there. Anyway, just give me a call at 740-500-8863, and we'll go over all the details, all the specials. So thank you all. Have a good night. We'll see you all later. Bye-bye now.